Blog Talk Radio.
If you love America, you're among friends here. ConservativeNationRadio.org.
Well, my intro didn't play like it was supposed to. So, and I'm not exactly sure where it is on the list of show things, because this list is a heck of a lot longer than any of them I've got. But welcome to my friends, welcome to the new Wise Conservatism radio show here on Blog Talk Radio. This week is a hallmark of another momentous moment for us here at NCW or NWCR, as we now are with Conservative Nation Radio Network at conservativenationradio.org. This is the reason that we are now later than we've ever been on the time clock, but we also, well, okay, this was fun. My intro didn't play like I wanted it to, like I had it listed as anyway, and hopefully now my microphone is working, which it should be, but I don't know where my intro song is, so I just won't play it today. I know I added it in there, but I sure as heck don't see it anywhere, so... Well, welcome to the new Wise Conservatism radio show. This week is a hallmark of another momentous moment for us. We've been here since 2007, and this one is the first show that we have done on our new radio network, conservativenationradio.org, which is also the reason why we are... later than we are, and we're also doing a two-hour show, which is something I've never done.
Good afternoon, folks. That was from 10 years ago yesterday. Yesterday was my 10th anniversary with Conservative Nation Radio, Conservative Nation Media, as it is called now, because I now own it. The man who does my intro, Duke Brooks, was one of the CEOs of NWCR or CNM back then, and he is the one who pushed to get me on this network. Now I own the darn thing. It's kind of interesting as to what is going on, but we've got a lot of things, and that was kind of the way this show sounded at the beginning of the very first show with CNM, rather auspicious sounding beginning. But we've got now this that happened last night.
I guess I'm going to have to explain the statute of limitations. Look, every single crime in every single jurisdiction, every statute has a certain amount of time in which you must bring the case. If you don't bring the case within that particular time, then you lose the ability to bring the case. Joseph Marino now joins us, former federal prosecutor. Joseph Marino, thank you for joining me. Your thoughts on the news that an indictment has just, at least it's been reported. It has not been unsealed. We don't know for sure, but you're a former federal prosecutor for the Eastern District of Virginia. Tell me, the issue of statute of limitations on this case, why is that so critical in this particular prosecution?
But the problem, based on what we know, is that this case seems barred, right? One, because if it were just a misdemeanor, right, just the bookkeeping case, it's 2 years. If it can be coupled with the cover-up of a separate, presumably federal crime, which is itself a problem, you get 5 years. But based on what we know, the bookkeeping entry and the transaction at issue here happened in October of 2016, just weeks before the presidential election that year. By my count, that's 7 years nearly. So there has to be some argument for why the five-year statute of limitations should be what we call tolled in this case to allow a case that's nearly 7 years old to be prosecuted. That's a big problem. Now, I can kind of guess what the prosecutor's office would argue. I've got two theories about what they could argue. But, I mean, you know, it's anyone's guess until we actually start getting some real facts here.
So what are your two guesses? Because that's where we are right now, because this is apparently, first we're guessing that the New York Times is right, then we, and if they are right, it's sealed anyway. We don't know what it is.
So the first would be that, based on, again, what we think we know, Michael Cohen made this payment of $130,000 to Miss Clifford's, right, Stormy Daniels, and then was reimbursed by the Trump Organization over a number of months. And it's been speculated those reimbursements went into 2018. Then, so if you take 5 years from 2018, now we get into 2023, that could be one explanation why the five-year statute of limitations is still hasn't basically been violated, and we're still within that time period. That's one theory. Another theory is that you can argue under New York State law that the person who is to be indicted, in this case Donald Trump, was living outside the state and was not locatable. That's a real stretch, right? I mean, because we knew exactly where he was. He was in a resident of Florida. He was living in the White House while he was president. But that's another theory that you could try to argue. Both of them seem like a stretch to me. And so I think the DA's office is going to have its hands full. Donald Trump has some extremely talented defense lawyers right now, and they're going to be all over this point.
Okay, there you have it. That was from Greta Van Susteren's show last night on Newsmax. And she herself is a lawyer. And there is a lot of things that really need to be parsed together on this. But this week, we are starting out with the indictment of Donald Trump. It is the first time ever in our history that a former president has been indicted. Now, you may ask, what are the indictment charges? We don't know yet. They say they have that there are 30 plus of them, but why don't we know what they are? They would tell us, Sarge. They would say that they're there because they have found these, but they throw indictments around that go against Republicans like it is their right to do this. But really, folks, it isn't. Greta Van Susteren on her show on Newsmax last night said that this is unprecedented. District Judge Bragg has a case that over the last year, even he has said was not fit to be tried, but he is now trying to do just that. The federal government wouldn't try it because it was too weak a case and there was no evidence of wrongdoing that would warrant this. And I'll get to you in just a second. Bragg said this last year. Cohen, who has been labeled a habitual liar by even his own attorneys, are now saying that even though he can't tell the truth, we must now believe him this time. Really? And I got Sarge on the line. Hello there. You there, Sarge? Okay, well, I will continue on this, and if I hear something from him on the phone, then I'll go ahead and so you see, my friends, this is a case that is not going to do anything but make Trump a martyr and make him harder to beat in the coming election. The Democrats are shooting themselves in the feet collectively because there are so many of them that have paid money to people in the past, like they're accusing Trump of doing, actually both Democrats and Republicans, yet nothing is said about this. This is nothing more than a witch hunt. Okay. Sarge, you there? I don't hear anything, so I'll just go ahead and if you're there, Sarge, I don't hear anything on the line. So, but this is what the left did after he announced his candidacy before he became president, and this is exactly what they did while he was president, and he came out of all of that vindicated. I have a feeling that this is what's going to happen here, too. Okay, well, he says he'll call back in a few minutes, so that wasn't him. So this is nothing more than a witch hunt against Trump. This is what the left did. But I have a feeling this is what is going to happen here, that he's going to get vindicated. But this district judge needs to be hanged out to dry for this. and he should lose his shingle for this. This is wrong, and it has nothing. It is nothing more than a political witch hunt that is not going to end good for America or Bragg. Here in Albuquerque, the Journal is the biggest liberal rag that I know of. Yet, when something good for liberals happen, like today, they forget all logic and spread across the top of the page the biggest headlines you'll ever see in a paper. When Trump was impeached the first time and the second time, they used a bold Helvetica type that was at least 255 points big, which is huge, folks. I've been in printing, so you know that's something that you just don't see in papers very often. But and this was announcing that he was impeached, and with the second impeachment, it was the same thing. Today's Journal was the same thing, and huge black Helvetica type that was at least 255 points big was a single word, indicted. And it looks like he is back. Let's see if he's there.
Yes, I am. How goes it for you, sir? How's it going?
I'm doing good. I'm I've got so many new audio clips on what has happened last night and this and today. I've got one that happened just about an hour ago where they were saying that Trump, that after the investigation and after what has happened, Bragg has now threatened the GOP with in a letter. So this is really going crazy in this whole thing. It's getting to be fun, I think.
You know, tyrants don't know the limits of their power, but at some point, I think they will receive some instructions on what those limits are. At least I'm hoping so. But, I got to tell you, while all this stuff is going on, and yes, it is, what's happening is historic and unprecedented, but did we not notice that we missed two insurrections that halted the activities of government in two state capitals last week?
I don't think I even caught that one myself.
Nashville, they had all kinds of freaks coming into the state capitol building there, mainly a mixed crowd of transgender activists and gun grabbers demanding all sorts of gun control measurements, crowding the capitol, forcing their way into the state legislative chamber, and halting the business there. The video's all over the Internet. You ought to see it. I hate to say this, I looked at the faces in the crowd, and they were almost all of them fanatical, crazy white women, probably single. I mean, these leftists have really gotten to single white women all of a sudden. What is with this? These neo-Marxists, I think, are turning them insane.
I actually agree with you there. They've gotten so insane on this. It's just really
I look at the crowd, especially in Nashville. I'm telling you, there was hardly a man in sight.
Well, maybe that's showing.
And they were demanding some unconstitutional gun control legislation, especially given the sort of rulings that have come down from the Supreme Court. The Heller decision, the McDonald decision, the Bruin decision. And then the transgender freaks were talking about they're holding up seven fingers to show that there were seven, count them, seven victims in this woman who did what she did at that covenant school. And they're including
her as
one of the victims.
Yeah, they're counting her as one of the victims.
And then not only that, there was some Internet commentator speaking approvingly of her delicate and sensitive artwork with his lovely pastels and whatnot. I mean, did she also do a review on Adolf Hitler's painting career by any chance?
Probably not.
I mean, we know what's wrong with them. I got to stop. That's just a rhetorical question, okay? What's wrong with them. But I'm just saying, they're out here, and they're doing what they're doing, and I'm telling you, it is like literally a wave of madness, irrationality, and unreason that we probably have not seen since the Middle Ages in Europe.
Well, There's something I have to do right at the moment, so if you can hold on, I've got to do the intro for the show, which I haven't done yet, and I'll be right back with you, okay?
Oh, man, my God, I thought you'd done that by now. Okay, you got to.
But what we saw in that Senate today was a cowardly group of Republicans who apparently have no option to
see. Show me where it says that protest is supposed to be polite and peaceful.
Do something about your dad's immigration practices, you feckless.
They go low, he kicks.
How do you resist the temptation to run up and wring her neck?
The biggest terror threat in this country is white men, most of them radicalized right on to the right.
I thought he should have punched him in the face. So even if he lost, he insulted your wife.
Yes.
He came down the escalator and called Mexicans rapists and murderers. He said, well, what do you think I should have done? I said, I think you should have punched him in the face and then gotten out of the race. He would have been a hero.
I'd like to punch him in the face. If I said we're in high school, I'd take him behind the gym and beat the hell out of him.
Punch some people in the face!
When was the last time an actor assassinated a president?
It's amazing how people try to frame everything racially, and how they create divisions among our society.
That's one small step for man, one giant leap for mankind.
Welcome to hour number one of NWCR Radio with your host, Robert Garding. This is Duke Brooks of Radio Free Delmarva from 92.7 WGMD, Rehoboth Beach, Delaware, and I'm proud to introduce my friend Robert as we fight to protect the America we know and love. Through the silver microphone of freedom with the voice of reason in this unreasonable world, you're listening to NWCR Radio, broadcast through the CNM network in Albuquerque, New Mexico, from our Freedom Studio. And now, here's Robert.
Okay, we are back. I've still got Sarge on the phone. You still there? No, maybe he went and...
I'm sorry, I'm back. Oh, by the way, sir, guess what I just discovered here? I think the Nashville legislature is considering expelling as many as three of its members for coordinating their activities with these activists who disrupted and shut down the legislative business that day. They were actually coordinating with them to enable them to upset and disrupt the business that was scheduled by the legislature that day. And I think they're making motions to expel them from the legislature.
Oh, boy. Kind of sounds like they're finally starting to do some things that are good.
I would hope so. I would hope so. I think it probably requires a two-thirds vote, I think. I'm not sure what the Tennessee Constitution says, but if anything like the United States Constitution, require a two-thirds majority to expel a member from Congress.
Yeah. Well, I know that when it comes to the Democrats, there is at least one out there who actually really does do what you know, they're supposed to do. I was listening to Greta Van Susteren last night, and she had Alan Dershowitz on there. And he's really incensed about that. He says this is really something that should not have happened.
Like I said, the Democrats are really good. They're lousy at governing. They're lousy at protecting your rights. They're hard at protecting the security of this nation and conducting foreign diplomacy. But the one thing they're good at stealing elections. Well, and the second thing is they're good at lawfare. They can certainly wage war against their enemies. They are positively Soviet in that respect.
Yep, and their enemies don't have to be an enemy of the United States. And their enemies right now are us.
Yeah, the most dire enemies are people who would govern in accordance with the Constitution and the traditions of this country. Those are their direst enemies because they wish to fundamentally transform the United States because they think the United States is unworthy of its heritage. Its heritage is unworthy. Everything about it was founded in sexism, racism, oppression, and genocide, and so therefore it must all be swept aside. We've got to always keep that in mind as we try to figure out what it is they're trying to do and why are they acting this way. Because they think everything that has made this country into the nation that it is wrong. It is warped. It was misguided. It never should have been. I mean, that sounds incomprehensible to those of us who think this is the greatest country in the history of mankind. But believe me, these people, and certainly their leaders, and most of their following have imbibed this message to its core. Although they'll never admit it out loud, they just say they're trying to make things fairer for everybody. That's why they love this corrupt notion of equity so much.
Well, equity is not what they keep saying it is. It doesn't mean equality.
No, it means it's another word for Marxist wealth redistribution, among other things, position redistribution, wealth redistribution, advantage redistribution, you name it, it's about redistribution. That's what makes it Marxist, is its various forms of redistribution.
Yep, and I, you know, and when Obama ran under the idea of fundamentally changing America, everybody should have woke up at that point in time.
Man, think about it for a minute. Think of what kind of narcissistic megalomaniac you got to be to think that you're going to keep the seas from rising.
Well,
because that's what he said in that speech where he talked about we have 5 days to fundamentally transform the United States of America. And remember, he put that in there. Stop the seas from rising. This guy, what does he think, he's Moses? All Moses wanted to do was part him.
Yeah.
Good Lord. I mean, these people, it's like Carlson said the other day, they think they're gods. And the reason, to their minds, Donald Trump is public enemy number one is because he was the first president in a long time to come along and put any sort of a significant roadblock up to their aspirations. Now, he certainly wasn't successful in everything he tried to do, but he represents a dire threat to what they want to do that no other president within living memory other than Ronald Reagan, probably the last president who offered even a halfway comparable an analog to Donald Trump. You know, Donald Trump is a guy that even more so than him represents a complete rollback of all of that, and they cannot let him prevail. They cannot even let him survive. They are trying to destroy him. That is clear as a bell. There's no doubt anymore whatsoever.
Well, on top of that, Donald Trump is not a politician. You know, so that immediately puts him on the outside, and they don't want outsiders there.
Well, he certainly does among the most unpolitic things I've ever seen in my life, and I think that's one of the reasons I admire him so much.
Yeah, and you know, he's got
many glaring flaws. I admire him because he's got guts. He loves this country, and he wants what's best for most of its people.
Mm-hmm. And he's not afraid to go after the things that he believes should be done for America. And when he's talked many times about how you know, the left is coming after us and he's the one standing in the way. Well, he seems to still be standing in the way, because now they've all of these things that the Democrats are trying to do to America right now are pushed to the back because Donald Trump is now in the front again. He's not even president.
Right. Let's just hope this time, if he gets back in, which I pray to God he does, should he run, let's hope that he makes better key personnel choices. It is obvious to me now that probably one of his best choices was General Flynn, because General Flynn was one of their first targets, because General Flynn knows where all the intelligence bodies were buried. He was familiar with the workings of intelligence, military intelligence, CIA, the NSA, and they knew right away they had to get rid of him. That was why he was one of their first targets other than Trump himself.
Yep, that's exactly right. You know, and I've saw like articles all over the place, you know, starting from one here in Albuquerque Journal, you know, with this huge headline. It's just all it said was indicted. And even when Biden won the presidency, they didn't use type that big. It's always when it goes against Trump, you know, when he was impeached the first time, huge letters, impeached, Trump impeached. And then when he was impeached the second time, it was Trump impeached again. And that's the only times I've ever seen them use type that big. And it's one of those things where you look at the paper and all you see is this huge headline. There may be other things there, but you don't see it.
Well, I tell you, you know, watching all these leftists and Trump deranged sufferers gloating, I noticed in the midst of watching them doing all the gloating they were doing, and it was considerable, and of course it was the usual suspects, there was very little discussion as to the merits of the case. Almost none. Almost none. There was a notice that he had been indicted, prospects of what it would look like if he went to jail, how wonderful a day it would be for the United States and its judicial system. They put him in jail, and an endless series of narratives. There was almost no discussion as to the merits of the case. The only people discussing the merits of the case, the specifics and the details, it would seem to me, are either conservatives, Trump supporters, or legal scholars who truly understand the law, even ones that didn't vote for Trump, and are happy to say they would never vote for Trump.
Well, you know, that's one of the things I was looking at when I got a clip of Dershowitz talking about this, and one of the things he said was he is a liberal Democrat. He's voted against Trump twice, and he wants the right to be able to vote against him again.
Exactly. But he understands, he understands the importance of the Constitution, and all legal decisions that are made or ever should be made should be done under the authority of that Constitution. And what we're looking at now is an absolute legal debacle. Let me put the admonition in there that I haven't seen the indictment. I haven't read it. It's 34 counts. But I suspect it's just more of an attempt to pile bull crap higher and deeper. That's what I think it'll be.
Well, you know, it's kind of like when they impeached Trump. You know, it was Adam Shifty Schiff was constantly saying, "Well, we have these things here that prove he is guilty," and they kept saying, "Oh, there's all this stuff here that we have to prove," but we never saw it. I think that's the way this one's going to go.
Yeah, that's the way it always works with them, isn't it? They always seem to lose sight of the evidence they say is going to be conclusive, and then you ask them for conclusive evidence. Never mind. Now, of course, we confront them with evidence of evidence irregularity, to include constitutional, U.S. constitutional, and state constitutional violations of election law. They say that's of no relevance and no significance.
But you know, and the whole thing is, you know, this is one of the things that I think Sarah Palin had even brought up on Eric Bolling last night, was that there are so many Republicans and Democrats who have done exactly the same thing that they're accusing Trump of doing, but nothing's ever said about it. Nothing is ever said about when a Democrat does this. And before, they never even had the gonads to come out and really just push on a Republican who did this. But now they just have absolutely no qualms about doing anything, just so long as they can get rid of Trump.
Well, I'll tell you, this is I think we now have our modern version of crossing a Rubicon. You know, I don't know who their Julius Caesar is, but their forces are certainly crossing the Rubicon. And I think they've unleashed a, you know, all the sayings and aphorisms you can think of, you know, sowing the wind, reaping the whirlwind. We don't know how this is going to wind up. But it's uncharted territory for sure. This is it.
That's what they keep saying.
This is it, man. I mean, you know, and I'm just wondering though. I was thinking if Trump had maybe fired Fauci, he might have been impeached and would have been convicted in the Senate. You know?
Yeah, but that might have been the best thing he could have done.
I mean, look what they impeached Andrew Johnson over. They impeached Andrew Johnson. And I didn't like Andrew Johnson as the president. Believe me, I didn't. But when he got impeached, and they failed to convict him by one vote in the Senate, it turned out that the law that they impeached him for violating was ruled unconstitutional by the Supreme Court.
Mm-hmm.
Because it violated separation of powers.
Mm-hmm.
And the president has the right to fire whoever works for him, for whatever reason he sees fit. Even don't like the tie, the way they part their hair.
Yeah.
And the Supreme Court said that was unconstitutional. And, you know, you would think that a president would have the right to fire somebody like Fauci, but who knows what they would have done if he'd have done so. And much of his presidency was crippled by the policies of that very public bureaucrat in the CDC and the National Institute of Health. Let's not even think about what all the bureaucrats were doing behind the scenes to undermine this presidency.
Yep, that's for
sure. Known as the deep state, the swamp.
Yeah, and that's the one thing that really set them off on Trump was the first thing he said he was going to try and get rid of the swamp, the deep state.
Yeah, that may be the most Sisyphean task in all of history. Talk about that's a boulder. I never envisioned anybody being able to roll uphill, getting rid of this deep state bureaucracy.
Yeah, and that's the sad part about it because it does need to be getting gotten rid of.
I think it's even more dangerous than the potato head in the White House because they're just manipulating him. He's nothing. He is just a tool for them to manipulate against the American people. Biden is nothing but a corrupt rat. There's nothing there. He's hollow. There's no soul. When he comes up here with stupid comments like transgenders are the soul of the nation, now you know somebody just pumped that into his empty, addled head.
Yep. And plus the fact they're less than 1% of the United States anyway, so how can they be? They're not.
It's like when you just say that a man can menstruate and be a woman. All you got to do is say it, and if you're a leftist, that makes it so. Transgender is the soul of the nation. Oh,
yep.
Wasn't that profound? It must be true. So many people don't like them.
Yep. Well, you know, one of the things that I had seen was when Trump reacted to the news about him being indicted, he said that he came out with the thing that's saying that political persecution and election interference at the highest level in history. And
I think it's rather telling that both Kamala and Joey Boy have nothing to say about this.
Yeah,
they're
about the only ones that haven't said anything about it.
I mean, their minions are saying a lot, but I noticed much of the higher-ups, Obama ain't said nothing about it. I don't even really believe Many of the people in January 6th have said much about this, other than Nancy Pelosi, who had the nerve to tweet out that now he has the opportunity to go to court and prove his innocence. Because as we all know, in the United States, when the rats accuse you of something, you're guilty until you prove you're innocent. You know, like in the Soviet Union.
Yeah. You know, one of the things that I was noting was that, you know, I was going to talk about that one, too, with where she is now saying that you have the right to prove yourself innocent. Well, that's not the right. She was supposedly the Speaker of the House for how many years, and she doesn't know that yet?
Look, man, her being Speaker of the House had nothing to do with governing and protecting the Constitution that she took an oath to uphold. No. It's strictly an exercise in power. Nothing else mattered. No tradition, no principle, no history. It's for her and most of the other rats, it's about power. How can we use this as an edifice to build our power? That's all they look at the Constitution as until they can get rid of it entirely.
Yeah.
You know, well, the rule presumption of innocence is too fundamental for another one of those fundamental traditions that must be gotten rid of.
And then they're working hard to do that. They're almost working overtime on that.
I think it's possible to overstate the peril the republic is in. I don't think it's possible to overstate it. I really don't. Because so many people, even if it wasn't as dire as I think it is, so many people, young people, going to college are completely unaware of the Constitution, its dictates, even what its basic articles were meant to do, even what the branches of the constitutional government are. Because you ask them, those who know something would say the branches of the constitutional government are the executive, the legislative, and the judicial. And then you correct them and say, no, that's not the branches of the constitutional government. The branches of the constitutional government are, number one, we the people. Number two, the sovereign states. And number three, the federal government. and when I saw Jesse Waters interviewing a University of Alabama, a co-ed on the beach, and they asked him who the president was. And I thought it was a put-on, but I could see after a while she really didn't know. She's a college student. Roll Tide. She's going to, University of Alabama at Auburn. She's going to the University of Alabama. She doesn't know. She might become a power broker one day in government. We can only hope she'll educate herself between now and then.
Yeah, but she'll most likely become one, you know, if she's thinking that way. But, you know, even Mike Pence, who was who seemed to turn completely against Trump, has pretty much spoken out on that one today. And he said that was just the wrong thing to do. You don't do things like that, especially if you don't have a good case. He says there is not a good case here.
This is worse than a no case. This is some kind of Frankenstein monster cobbled together from bits of rotting legal theory. I mean, this is like something that pulled up out of the legal grave and cobbled together in some sort of monster and animated it.
Mm-hmm. And, the first thing that I heard, and it was in the first clip that I aired, was that, you know, statute of limitations is well past on this one. And since then, since I got that clip, I haven't heard anybody mention it.
I even heard some idiot saying, well, even the statute of limitations wasn't told because of the COVID emergency. Now, tell me something. I've never in all of my years dealing with the law and the courts and seeing what I've seen over the years, I've never heard of a COVID exception to the statute of limitations. Have you?
No, I haven't. Even here in New Mexico, I haven't.
But this is what we're up against these days.
Yeah. I have another phone caller in here, and I'm not really sure if they were calling to just listen or what, but I'm going to try and put them on, see what the heck they have to say, if it'll let me. Okay, hello, you there? Maybe not. Okay, I guess they're just listening. but, you know, I've got so many clips here of what has been said over the last couple of hours even. I got one here that was from just probably an hour ago. And it's the left and especially those on the that show The View, oh, they were just giddy as like schoolgirls on that thing because they were saying, oh, the law is finally being followed. No, it's not. it's insane.
Yeah. This has got to be, you know, now this guy, Bragg, Fat Alvin, he's managed to convince a majority of the grand jurors that Donald Trump is a ham sandwich. Well, it's also the first ham sandwich he ever saw, he didn't gobble down.
Yeah, he looks like he's well-fed.
Yeah, at the very least.
But, you know, even a year ago, this same district attorney was saying that this was too weak a case to try. Now what's he doing?
Well, you know, I got to say, and I hate to be fair to them, but, you know, I got to admit this. And I look, that was a while back. It is possible. I mean, possible that this new information he's got that would lead him to have some sort of valid case, which is why we really need to see the indictment. I understand the judge today has approved the release of the indictment. I don't know what kept them having a press conference today and revealing it. I don't have any idea. Probably it'll come on Monday before he's arraigned. I don't know. But we will have to, you do have to read the indictment to see what aces or what the district attorney has up his sleeve with regard to charging him. I wouldn't be surprised if there are counts on there that have nothing whatsoever to do with Stormy Daniels.
Oh, I'm not sure of it.
Yeah, we just have to see.
Well, you know, it didn't I'm not a lawyer, but I would think that they would have to have the indictment if they were going to indict somebody. They would have to have shown what they have against them. And anymore, it seems like they don't. They just keep them sealed and say, oh, we've got this stuff. Well, show it to us.
Well, obviously, they're going to, I mean, you indict somebody, you got to let a defense counsel know what you're charging with. So, I mean, if I would assume that his defense team has the indictment. Maybe they do, maybe they don't, I don't know. But they're going to have to get it probably before anybody else does, probably
yeah.
Including the press. So, we'll be able to, you know, get our hooks in the indictment and tell what it actually says and what it actually portends. Right now, mm-hmm. We've got to admit we're kind of all shooting in the dark because of what this guy, Alvin Bragg, alleges he's come up with. But no matter what, we've got to admit that this is probably the first time in this bastard's career that he's ever elevated a misdemeanor into a felony.
Well, it's also probably the first time in his career that he's enjoying his 5 minutes of fame.
5 minutes of fame, you think? Do you think so? No, he's going to go down
you know,
in history. Oh, he's got it. His name is in history. He's the first one to ever do this.
Yeah.
His name is going to be in the history books. It's going to be right up there with, I don't know, Blandingham, the guy that Abraham Lincoln locked up when they suspended habeas corpus and locked him up for being a copperhead.
and who was that one? And I had a clip on that one, too, that, I can't think of his name right now, but that guy that they indicted a year or so ago, his name starts with an N, Nevado or...
Oh, Navarro. Peter Navarro.
Navarro. And when it came to him, he was actually the first senior person of an administration to have had that happen to him. So they're going after firsts, but they want the firsts to all be against Trump, especially if it may hurt him.
Yeah, you notice they almost always get him on some sort of process crime, like failure to comply with a subpoena, or failure, or lying to an FBI agent, or something that has to do with the process rather than any other crime itself.
Mm-hmm.
That's what they got Roger Stone on. That's what they got Michael Flynn on. That's what they got Navarro on. That's what they tried to get this other guy, this other counsel for Donald Trump on that saved the cell phone. I mean, everything is process crime, you know. Oh, if you lie to an FBI, even when the lying is oftentimes a matter of opinion.
Mm-hmm. Well, you
like
know,
with Michael Flynn, because two of the agents who were in on the interview said they didn't believe that Michael Flynn had lied.
Yeah. Well, I just found a thing that came from Newsmax. It says two former federal prosecutors told Newsmax today that proving Manhattan District Attorney Alvin Bragg engaged in misconduct by indicting former President Donald Trump would be tough to prove. And I don't know about that one. I think they've already proved it because of his stance against Trump from the very beginning.
Well, let's take a look at what's going on in the U.S. Attorney's Office with the January 6th defendants. Now, we now know that in many of these defendants' cases, they did not get the exculpatory evidence of the videos that the government had in its possession, which would have tended to prove that they might not have been guilty of what they were charged with. They didn't get it. Has anything been done to them? That's called Brady evidence. When you don't give Brady evidence to a defense counsel, you're committing legal malfeasance. Has anything been done to them? No. Is anything likely to be done to him? No. People like Alvin Bragg will be protected from as many people as can possibly protect him because he is doing their bidding. And if not their explicit bidding, then he's doing what they desire. And he knows that they know that. And they know that he knows that.
Well, even Attorney General William Barr says that the Democrats are using this indictment to stink Trump in 2024. And we all know that.
Yeah, William Barr is another disappointment, but at least look, this is so outrageous that even William Barr's got to come to the defense of Donald Trump on this one. And William Barr was a huge disappointment for me because I know William Barr is smart. He's very competent. He knows the law, but I think he almost completely let Donald Trump down.
Yeah, absolutely.
A huge disappointment for me.
And another one who is quiet about this is McConnell. He hasn't said anything.
Yeah, isn't it curious? All these never-Trumpers with Trump derangement syndrome to some extent or other. They got nothing to say about it. I mean, they're opening up unprecedented avenues for local governments to charge people with violations of federal law that they really don't have jurisdiction over. It's astounding.
Mm-hmm. Oh, it
now,
is.
Now, if you
had
a judge with integrity who gets, and it won't be this judge who rules over the case when Trump is arraigned, you would think they'd look this case over and just toss it right away. Just toss it on their own authority, which they could do, but they're not. They're not, oh, it's too important. I couldn't take it upon myself to do it. Yeah, you got the authority to do it if you think it's bullshit. That's what you're a judge for.
Yep.
Nobody has to tell you that. You're free to do it, but it won't be done. But the judge, this case ought to be tossed. As soon as the judge, a defense raises a motion, the statute of limitations has expired, Your Honor. Has it? Well, show me the statute. Where does it say that? Dismissed. That's what should be done, right there.
Absolutely.
Right there.
And there, one of the, I think it was actually Pence who had said this, that with the statute of limitations, if they bring, you know, the Republicans, the people in charge of Trump's defense needs to bring this up and need to keep pushing with it because it's something that needs to be in there.
Well, I have no doubt that they're going to do that at the arraignment, but like I said, all of that, I'm sure, will be airily waved aside by the judge, and, you know, it'll just assign a court date and all that other stuff. So, mm-hmm. you know, there you go.
Yep.
So we're going to have the arrest, we're going to have the booking, we have the fingerprinting, might have a perp walk, and then we're going to have the arraignment. So at that point, that's where those issues that the lawyers have to raise, that's the point at which they'll be raised.
Well, that's one of the things that Navarro had said when he was talking earlier. He said that they came to his where he was, and they locked him up in chains and gave him that perp walk. He said, it's going to be interesting to see what the people think if they do that to Trump.
Remember now, this man is entitled to Secret Service protection for the rest of his life. That's why the Secret Service is there coordinating all of this. The Secret Service, even if they put him in a jail cell, they're going to have Secret Service agents outside a jail cell.
Outside a jail cell, yep.
and that's the damnedest thing. They're going to have Secret Service agents who are going to be in jail with him for at least the duration of their shift.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, that's just the way it is. That's why nothing, this is so insane. If you're going to do something like this, you better do it ex-president. You better do this for treason or something really serious.
Mm-hmm. You know, they've kind of morphed that law too, because, you know, I don't think they ever got rid of the rule that said if you're convicted of treason, then you get hanged, and I don't think they've ever changed that. But they've
the penalty still attaches potentially to treason. Mm-hmm. You can know that that's still on the books. You maybe they get hanged if you put in the electric chair. That's what they got the Rosenbergs for back in the 50s.
Well, you know, there is one state this last week that reinstituted hanging as an execution, way of execution. I can't remember which one it was, but one of the states reinstituted that.
Probably one of the western states. They got execution by firing squad. And, you know, hanging is still the death penalty, is a method of execution in many states. The problem is that almost nobody gets executed anymore for anything by any method.
Yeah.
It just almost never happens anymore.
Unless it's Trump. Then they'll go after it.
we need to execute Trump over an administrative bookkeeping violation. Yeah. When the expired statute of limitations, which he wasn't even guilty of in the first place.
Yeah, and the federal government actually looked at this a year or so ago and said, no, this is not something we can prosecute.
Well, again, I'm going to just keep the caveat that maybe there's something in indictment heretofore unrevealed. So that could be it, too. Maybe there is something new here that goes beyond what we're talking about. But just for the sake of discussion, I'm going to go on the assumption there's nothing really new.
Mm-hmm.
Admitting that I could be wrong about that. I mean, this is New York. This is the most corrupt district attorney maybe in the history of Manhattan. And he's a guy who has a real problem with prosecuting violent felons. He prosecuted a bodega owner or employee who lawfully defended himself against a violent attack by a thug. It was all on video, and he prosecuted him anyway. It was only the public outcry that got the charges dropped. It was just astonishing to me. So this is as clear a case of self-defense as I've ever seen.
Yeah, I saw that.
But what did Bragg do? Bragg tried to put him under the jail.
And he succeeded.
Meanwhile, the real felons, the recidivist felons, he's got a soft spot in his heart for him. He's in the thug protection business. He drops felonies down to misdemeanors. You know, he avidly enforces the no bail rule. And by the way, the one good thing about that is that they won't be able to, Donald Trump is going to walk out after all the shit is over because there's no bail. For this crime, mm-hmm. he cannot be held to bail.
Well, you know, the other thing is
after the arraignment is over.
The other thing about this is that everybody else, you know, I was talking earlier about how a lot of the Democrats and a lot of the Republicans have been caught, have done exactly the same thing, but they used taxpayer money. This time it was Trump's own money. So it's put a whole different thing on it.
And what have we got on the record? Let's see what we got on the record. We got a written statement by Stormy Daniels in 2018 that says she did not have an affair or sexual relations with Donald Trump.
Yes,
she signed. So was she lying then or is she lying now? And you know she's lying in one instance, and without any corroborative evidence to the contrary, a jury or someone else would have to assume that she's a liar. She can't be trusted. She's unworthy. Mm-hmm. Now, you could get things like that in if you can provide some independent corroboration other than their word that their news story is the actual one. Absent that, a juror is supposed to disregard them as being untrustworthy.
Mm-hmm. And then their other witness that they've gotten this whole thing is Cohen, and he's a habitual liar. Now we're supposed to believe him?
Yeah, especially and after that statement by his legal mentor, that Robert Costello guy. Did you see all the things he said about Cohen under oath for the grand jury?
I saw some of it.
Yeah, I mean he came out and said that this guy said he'd do anything he had to get out of going to jail. He told him repeatedly after, remember, he waived his attorney-client privilege, okay? He
mm-hmm.
made a written waiver to Mr. Costello to testify or something like that. You know, that's why Costello could talk about what he said to him. He said that he didn't know anything about it, that he took out a home equity line of credit to get the $130,000 to pay Stormy Daniels, and that Trump didn't know about it, his wife didn't know about it, and he was trying to keep his secret from her, and all this stuff.
Yeah, and he got away with it.
That alone, I don't know how any – the reason that grand jury returned a true bill of indictment was because it was your typical Manhattan New Yorkers who just want to get Trump no matter what, and it wouldn't have taken much to persuade him. Trump was the literal ham sandwich that these people are always talking about with regard to grand juries.
Mm-hmm. Yep, absolutely. I'm coming up on the end of the first hour. I'm going to have to break in a couple of minutes for the intro to the second hour, but damn, that first hour went fast, didn't it?
Oh, yeah. You know, we'd have a good conversation, time flies.
and it's actually, I've got several people in the chat room, and I've got several on the phone call thing, and I think that one that I tried to get him to answer, he wouldn't, and so it kind of seems like he's just calling to listen. Some people do listen in their cars, so they have to call in.
Yeah, well, you know, I mean, I think everybody who's got something to say should call into your show and say it as loudly as they can, because we are living in not only interesting times, but perilous times. And the more information people have, the better. So the more voices out here that are saying what needs to be said, the better it is.
Yeah, absolutely. And the sad part about it is so many people just figure that if the government's involved that they should just leave it alone and let them do what they do, but it's getting to the point where the government is doing more damage to this country if they're left alone, and when they get somebody who pushes back against them, they go crazy. And
have you forgotten that this man at the very least got 74 to 75 million votes from the American people, and I believe he got a hell of a lot more than that. But nobody argues about 75 million votes, which is more votes than any incumbent president in the history of the United States. So he literally represents 75 million people, and they're doing this sort of thing to him. Now, I would approve of it if it was a genuine criminal case. But this...
Yep.
You've got to be kidding me. You don't do that to a former president who represents 75 million votes and who did immeasurable good for this country when he was in office.
Yeah, unless you have a really strong case, and they don't.
No. Well, again, I got to see the indictment, but you know what I'm thinking. Of course, it ain't nothing to it.
Well, my thoughts on this is, I'm thinking the same thing. You know, we got to wait for the indictment, but if it was such a important thing and such a strong thing, they would put that out there, I would think.
Well, what do you mean? They put out indictment?
Yeah, just let everybody know what they've got, because, if it was such a strong thing, I would think they'd put it out there and say, okay, this is what we have, and let it go from there. But I think for the most part, they're still trying to figure out what they're going to get him on.
Well, there are rules about that with New York with regard to release of grand jury indictments. I think the judge does control the timing and the nature of the release. I think it has to do with either just before the arraignment or at the time of the arraignment or shortly after. I'm not sure. So there is an element of control that the courts have that I'm not really that familiar with, being New York and all. But, I think that has a lot to do with it, too.
Yeah, well, that's true. Well, I'm at the top of the hour, so I'm going to have to take this break. It's a hard break I have to take. So I'll be right back, and I'm glad you're here, Sarge. I'll talk to you in a few.
See you on the other side.
We'll be right back after these important messages.
Conservative Nation Media, or CNM, is looking to bring in new shows so we can reach more people. We report the truth, not the spin of the liberal mainstream media. We worry because laws are not being enforced, and if you tell the truth, you could lose everything. You can't even walk in once safe neighborhoods. You are likely to get killed doing that. Right now we have two shows, NWCR Radio and Black by Color Only. American by Design is on hiatus. We believe in God, law and order, and the Constitution. We believe our borders must be closed to illegals, and there are only two sexes, and we honor our veterans and our boys in blue, too. If you like expressing the truth and love for America, send us an email to Conservative Nation Media, all one word, 2017@gmail.com. Tell us your show ideas, and we will get back with you. We are Conservative Nation Media, where America always wins. Join us today.
Many of our veterans deal with significant personal issues on a daily basis. These can include any combination of combat-related, medical, or psychological issues, as well as stress from transitioning out of a highly structured environment. It is our hope that through our familiarity with these struggles, we can use our experiences and connections to help these vets move forward in a positive direction and enjoy a fulfilled life. Our vision is to put an end to homelessness and suicide that seems to be prevalent among our veterans. Our mission is to remember, honor, and serve our veterans and their families. Who we are is warriors serving warriors, and we are comprised of veterans of our U.S. military with a variety of backgrounds and professions. Although we are a veterans group of Legacy Church here in Albuquerque, New Mexico, we accept vets from other churches and denominations. What we do is actively seek veterans who would like to be a part of our elite Christian group and share our desires to help and equip other veterans who are in need of assistance. We help other veterans who are in need of assistance with their transition to civilian life or have spiritual, physical, or emotional needs. We are currently proudly serving veterans in the Albuquerque metro area, with future plans of expanding throughout the whole state of New Mexico. We meet every month to execute and strategically plan to reach our veteran community with the slogan, No Man Left Behind, giving them direction and or referring them to someone that could help them better their lives. If you know someone or are a vet yourselves, give us a call at 505-302-1999 or go to warriorservingwarriors.org. You can also email us at wswnmvets@gmail.com. That's Warriors Serving Warriors. Give us a call or join today.
Please don't do anything you will never live to regret. angry blowback for the downing of Ukrainian passenger jet gathering momentum in Tehran.
Welcome back to Hour 2 of the New Wise Conservatism Radio Show with your host, Robert Garding. This is Kathy Henner's A Daily Roll Call, and we need more voices like Robert who aren't afraid of the wrath of the left, even when the truth is told and it doesn't fit their agenda. Now, with Biden in charge, this is more imperative than ever. From New Mexico in CNN's Freedom Studio comes the second hour of the show. And now, here again is Robert.
Okay, we are back for the second hour. Sarge, you still there?
Yeah, I'm back now. How you doing? I'm glad to see you back. Your bathroom break gave me a wonderful opportunity to make myself a bit lighter. Thank you.
You're welcome. Yeah, it's something that with the first, at the beginning of the first hour and the beginning of the second hour, it's something that I've always had to do since I've been with Conservative Nation Media, which actually was 10 years ago. My first show was 10 years ago yesterday.
All right. Something to be said for longevity. You're plugging away at it, man. Outstanding.
Yeah. And before that, I think my first show that I ever did was in 2007. And it was in 2013 or something like that that I did my first show. And it was on March 30th.
Yeah, I think I remember seeing you when you first came on the scene and after, about that time.
Yeah, it's been a while. I'm hoping that my show has improved since then. I think I played the my first audio clip was from that show, and I couldn't believe I got away with some of the things I was doing.
Yeah, man. I did some stuff, too, in Blog Talk for a brief period of time. And I got to admit, it was just so much fun and rewarding to do the research that you had to do, when you went into the show. Because when you got to do the research, to put on the show, heck, I mean, it's like that knowledge sticks with you, almost as if you were doing, like, a college-level paper or something.
It is. I just got myself another phone call here, so are you there? Hello?
Yeah, I'm here. Go ahead.
Is this Joey boy?
Yeah, I'm here. Usually when people want to talk, they'll press 1, so I wasn't ready yet, but I'm ready. But go ahead. You can connect me if you want.
Oh, man, you ought to just stick around, man. Just go ahead and let them have over. After all, man, you got a lot to say. You need to say it.
Yeah, well, I mean, we knew the Trump was going to be indicted. I mean, I just want to see what it says. I mean, it's still sealed.
I don't think
that's
get away
the
with
thing
that.
Right now, man, getting through this indictment now, because That means all the speculation will be over. It will be up to the district attorney to prove each and every single count in the indictment. That's where rubber is going to meet the road.
This is election interference all day long. He's announced he's going to run for president again. They bring these in, trumped up charge, a misdemeanor that statute of limitations have already run out. You cannot do that. That is against the law. It's malicious prosecution, and they should bring these people up on RICO violations. That's what they should do. Use the RICO Act against them. And it can be done.
I actually hadn't even thought about that aspect of it.
Yeah, they're a criminal enterprise.
Yeah.
And if they even so much as used a pen going after Trump, a pencil, the person that used that pencil and the company is involved. I mean, the RICO statutes are so far and wide how you can implicate people that I just don't understand why constitutional professors or people that are law experts don't go after these people more, or these sovereign people that are supposedly so up on the law, why they don't use the RICO statutes. I don't know why. They're such a perfect tool. Use what they created against them.
Yeah. I like I said, I hadn't even thought about that, but we've got a bunch of people in office right now, and even the ones who have just been demoted, you know, are now saying that Trump has now got the chance to prove himself innocent. Well, that's not the way the judicial system works.
No, he doesn't have to prove he's innocent until proven guilty. You know, that's not the way it works. And I can't believe people – this is how screwed up the American people are and how brainwashed they are. And the conservative people need to wake up, too, and knock it off. At least Pence did the right thing by speaking out against it. But still, I don't like Pence anyway. He's a traitor, as far as I'm concerned, to the Republic. But, you know, but the fact of the matter is that, you know, that this is wrong. This is malicious prosecution all day long. They've weaponized the judicial system, the judiciary branch of our government in that state, and the people should be marching in the streets demanding justice, and the Constitution, Bill of Rights, gives us the tools. I'm not going to say it on your radio show, but people know what time it is, and we have the amendments there to back it up. Use them. It's time.
Mm-hmm.
It's time.
It is time, and it's actually been time for a while now, but it's so past, so ripe for that right now that it just has to be done. People have to wake up and start realizing.
We're going to let them get convicted next? We're going to let them get convicted? We're going to let them rig the election next? We're going to get – everyone's going to be paying attention to this instead of paying attention to the election and the ballot boxes? What was it? Did you hear, Sarge, about the two electors that were forced to resign or they wouldn't certify the election in one of these states? I forgot where it was. I heard about it. They refused to certify an election because they said there was fraud going on and the election wasn't valid. And what they did was they voted them out, the district. I forgot, man, what the story it was, but I heard it. And the electors have to certify the election. They refused to certify the election, so they just got rid of the electors.
So in other words, they were faithless electors. Now, in some states, there is a provision to remove a faithless elector. It depends on what the state is. You got to look at what their election laws are in that state.
No,
but yeah, I'd be interested in researching that, finding out what that was
no,
about.
No, Sarge. The electors did not want to certify the election. And so what they did was is the politicians in that area, the prosecutors and everything, got rid of the electors.
But did they vote? Did they get an opportunity to vote or anything?
Yes. I don't know what it was pertaining to, but I heard the story. I caught the end of it on Hannity. Hannity was talking about it, and I caught the end of it. And I just cannot believe it. I mean, it's just
I can believe it.
Well, yeah, I know, but it's just
somebody like that, that's what they call a faithless elector. And like I said, some states do have a method to remove a faithless elector, but you got to look at their election laws. But it does stink to high heaven why they wouldn't even entertain their objections to their electoral vote.
If we're not going to obey the laws on the books, I mean, if we're an illegitimate corporation anyway, but if we're not going to obey, look, we're not going to have a law and order. I mean, what is this? What's going on here? I mean, it just seems like we're in a twilight zone where you just can't get justice. I'm even having nightmares about it. I mean, it's like your hands are tied and you just can't do the right thing. You got to join the bad guys, otherwise you're done, you know?
Yeah, and I've heard talk kind of leading in that direction, too, where we have, you know, I've heard where Republicans are actually thinking, well, the only way to get them to do the right things is to do the same things they're doing so we can get elected and then get rid of.
Yeah, or yeah, become a Democrat and go into these cities and get elected democratically and then do and enact Republican values, conservative values, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, that's the only way. I mean, I just don't understand. I don't know. And then you got the amount of people that will end up getting, you know, bought off or because corruption, you know. I mean, you get in power, people don't want to give it up, you know. So, I mean, I know I'm running down here in North Carolina, and I'm not going to sell out for nothing. I don't care. I don't really care. I want to see things, you know, put right, you know. I've been through the mill, and you can't break me, so I've been through the worst of it. So, but the thing of it is that I want to see things done right. But our government is so spread out with the judiciary, you know, three branches of the government. It's hard for one person to change something. And maybe, you know, sometimes I wonder if maybe we need a king for a little while to straighten things out. I don't know, you know. I mean, it's just because we're broken right now.
Well, you know, it's like you were talking about you're in North Carolina. I'm in New Mexico. And here what we have is they got a whole complete morphing of the way it's supposed to be. It's when they had this last election, the Republicans, and we had some good ones who were running, but the Republicans would get one ad on television, and then the next 23 political ads you'd see would be attack ads against Republicans, attack ads against Trump, attack ads against everything and except for what the Democrats were standing for. And then you'd get this one lone ad for the Republican again, then there'd be another 23. So the people really didn't get the news of what was really going on. And of course they voted Democrat.
I don't know. I just don't know what to say anymore. Everything's so controlled. I mean, the white hats and this and that, and it's just one big mess. I mean, how are we going to get this ship straightened out? I don't know. I mean, this indictment is just – I mean, I said it on my podcast show. There was an indictment already. They were hanging on to it for a while. He was already indicted. That's how Trump already knew anyway. Everyone knew the indictment was already there. The media just said it just came out today or yesterday. I mean, it was already there. We already knew it.
It was already there.
You know? Yeah. So – I had inside information on that already. That was easy. But, you know, it's sealed, and I don't like that. You know, what is it? What is this, Russia? You know, secret police? I mean, secret this, sealed this? I mean, secret grand jury meetings? I mean, that's not a lawful grand jury that did that. That's not how a grand jury proceeding is supposed to be.
They got away with that thing with the impeachment of Trump, where they were kept, where they had this Adam Schiff who kept coming in and saying, well, you don't know what we know. We've got all this evidence, but they would never release it.
Yeah. But, you know, we got to be careful because we're so close to, we have so many differences of opinions out there that don't base their thoughts or what they believe on facts or even facts that they may be true. So you have to be careful because this country could very easily spiral into a civil war and you can lose control. And you can lose control. And believe me, there's a lot of bad people out there who even the people we think that are going to do the right thing, sometimes they could be persuaded to do the wrong thing too. And we got to be careful, you know. I mean, because we lose law and order, we're in trouble.
Well, you know, I was living in Indiana when Mike Pence became governor there, and I liked him as governor. But there were things that he would do at certain times that would make me think, you know, what the hell is he doing? You know, he'd back off on things that he shouldn't. And I thought, well, there's problems there. That's going to come to bite us in the butt sooner or later. And as sure as heck it did.
Yeah. Well, he was a traitor. I didn't like Pence. I thought Jeff Sessions was going to be Trump's vice president, really. That's what I was thought. Well, I was told when he was campaigning. And I even announced that. And then he chose Pence. So, I mean, I don't know. And now they're propping up DeSantis, and I don't trust him too much down in Florida. I don't really trust him. he's too in bed with the Jewish thing down there, the ADL and everything. I don't, you know, I don't trust them either.
Yeah, well, I don't know. He's, you know, DeSantis has been a really good governor for that state. Just like, oh heck, no.
Yeah, that's what scares me.
Down in Texas.
You know,
well,
that's
one thing DeSantis did, I think, that was worthy of note, and he did say, and I know it's a moot point since Trump said he was going to surrender himself on Tuesday, but he did forthrightly state that the state of Florida would not cooperate in any way, shape, form, or fashion with extradition should it have come to that, back to New York. And since he has the sole constitutional authority to determine such matters as to whether or not it is a valid request for extradition, that would have been fairly significant just as a statement. So, you know, I'm going to note that he at least did that.
Yeah, and I think that's what Trump should do. How much is he going to take? Enough is it? They took the election from you. They've been robbing. Now they want to lock you up in jail. What are you going to do next? You know, what's going to happen next? I mean, they're a rigged trial because, you know, remember, Sarge, when you go to trial, it's all up on how the judge instructs the jury.
Yeah, but think about this for a minute, Joe. Let's say that he resisted extradition and he stayed in Florida. And, of course, they can't do nothing about it because it's a state charge and only the state can, assent to extradition. It's not a federal charge. He's not an interstate fugitive to avoid prosecution. He was already there. He didn't leave the state of New York because no prosecution had ensued yet. So they wouldn't have any basis to get him. Now, if he leaves Florida and goes to campaign, say, in Illinois, well, they would send, and while he's in there in a hotel room, New York would send an extradition request to Illinois, and you know that lousy, rotten bastard Pritzker would agree to extradition in a heartbeat, and they'd go down there, arrest Trump, and extradite him back to New York in handcuffs. Oh, they'd love to do that.
Yeah,
now, I don't know what the Secret Service would do. I don't know what the Secret Service would do, but the Secret Service would protect him. I guess they'd have to accompany him on the flight because they couldn't refuse the extradition order if Governor Pritzker complied with New York's request.
Yeah, because the Secret Service cannot leave Trump's. They have to protect him at all times.
Yeah, and they also can't defy legitimate court orders. So if you got an extradition request from, say, the governor, say he left Florida where he's protected from extradition, and he goes to Illinois where Pritzker would comply with an extradition request, then nothing they can do.
Yeah, true.
Talking about legally, anyway, legally.
Yeah. Well, I mean, again, I just don't get it. That's what gets me with all these sovereigns and everything. You know, they talk about, on my show, Sarge, you know, the law, lawfully this, lawfully that, you know, with the driver's license things and everything. But yet all these people are locked up in jail. You know, if it really worked, why are they still in jail, you know?
Well, they did let the shaman out. I think they let him go to a halfway house. He's not in prison anymore. You know, the so-called shaman.
Yeah.
They got Jacob. Thanks to Tucker Carlson, Jacob Shensley is out of jail.
Yeah, okay. Well, that's good. You know, I mean, that's a start. But, you know, again, there's so many others. Look at the Montana Freeman. Remember them?
Oh, yeah, I know. Mm-hmm. Still bad.
No, I mean, look at this other kidnapping case. You know, the hung jury first time, second time they convict them. You know, so, It's just a little bit, I don't know, it's just a little bit odd.
Revealed that the Proud Boys, the case right now, information is coming out, that the Proud Boys didn't go there to cause any ruckus. They went there to help. That's what their informants testified to under oath in court.
Wow.
Now, they're probably going to convict these guys anyway. But I'm just saying, they got a basis for appeal based on what the FBI informant said under oath in court. The one that was down there to infiltrate them.
Yep.
You guys remember that lawyer Avenatti?
Yeah, Avenatti.
He's now saying
the Harpies on the View wax poetic orgasmic over this guy at the prospect of him being president one day. Oh, he's going to be the next president. Oh, we just love him. Blah blah blah. That was so stupid.
They probably don't like him right now because he has just said that you cannot build a case on the testimony of Cohen and Daniels.
How about that?
I don't know. It's insane. I think what happened was is that why the reason why they delayed the indictment to come out, Sarge and everybody, is this. So the FBI and Homeland Security can set everything up and watch all the main player patriots, people like me, people like certain other people, and can watch our social media and listen to our phones and set up shop to make sure that we don't do anything stupid, right?
Yeah.
You know? I mean, because, you know, they're watching you. They're always watching. I mean, they do their rounds with me many, many times, watching me with surveillance.
Yeah, they got surveillance tools like never been dreamed of before.
Yeah.
So I'm out there watching everybody and everything, and they're trying to make cases on everybody. But what's our option? Is our option to just be quiet and just acquiesce to this?
I know.
That's no good either. That's going to make things worse.
Exactly.
You know, that's what they want us to do, actually, is that, you know, I don't plan on sitting down and letting them get away with all this crap.
Yeah. I mean, I'm doing it lawfully through the Constitution, the tools of the Constitution. You know, that's how I always say it, and that's how I promote it. You know, I don't believe in doing anything. I don't believe in doing anything violently. I don't believe in doing anything like that. I believe there's still tools out there, but in a lot of individual cases, though, I believe that we're getting to a fine line here, and I believe they're pushing it. They're pushing us to a fine line, and you know. And listen, man, the Justice Department, we've got to keep law and order. What are they doing? Why are they allowing this to happen? You know, this stuff. I just don't understand it. Why would you do this? You know, people want answers. People want truth. People want, you know, we didn't have to have this indictment on Trump, you know?
Well, we didn't, but according to the Democrats, we did because they don't want him to run again.
Yeah. Look, well, the Democrats don't be. I don't, you know, but they're not the voice of the entire country. And believe it or not, a lot of Democrats agree with the conservatives about this online, especially about this internet TikTok thing charge. You know, that bill they came out with where they want, you know, you read that bill that they want to come out with for
TikTok?
I know.
I don't like TikTok. I want to get rid of TikTok, but I don't want this bill to do it because this bill is worse than TikTok.
Yeah, exactly. It's like the Patriot Act. All over again, right?
It is. I agree with Rand Paul and Tucker Carlson and all the others who bought out the provisions in this bill. This thing stinks, and it needs to be killed in the cradle.
That's right. Amen to that. You know, it's crazy.
And it's getting crazier all the time. You know, it just used to be, I can remember when, you know, when Sarge mentioned Reagan, when he ran, you know, the Democrats still had the same feelings, but they weren't as out in your face as they are now. And they've gotten to the point now where they've gotten away with so many things, you know, that even when the Republicans are in charge, the Democrats still get things because they cry and moan and bitch and say, oh, we're not given our constitutional rights to be able to be part of the government. Well, when the Democrats are in charge, they don't allow the Republicans either. So, even when the Republicans are in charge, the Democrats are still getting concessions.
Yeah. I think we really need a third party. I think a third party would be the key to a lot of this mess, you know, a third party. We need a third party in that government that can represent the people. You know, I really believe the Constitution Party or something like that could offset everything within the government that could really fix a lot of stuff. But, you know, we don't have the numbers throughout the country, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It's just I really believe that. I believe that would fix a lot of this. But, again, you know, look, how are you going to fix the currency? How are you going to fix the bartering system, the Federal Reserve? It's the world's reserve currency. How are we going to do that without plunging the entire globe into a depression? And, you know, and I like the idea of where everybody, you know, an open, free, well, do away with a bartering system. Just have a trade, self-trade system. You know, I don't like money being king and everybody chasing money all their lives. I don't like that. I think it's ungodly. It's evil, and it creates greed, and it also creates laziness, you know. So it doesn't inspire you to do anything. But now you're talking 4,000 years of history. We got to go back and erase. You know, that's not going to happen. God's going to have to put that straight. You know, but how do you get rid of the Federal Reserve? You can't. You just can't. It's too entangled into everything. You know,
we've allowed a lot of this to get too big to get rid of easily.
And Sarge, you're a history professional here. I mean, how did World War II Germany come up with their currency when Hitler took charge? How did they do that? How did they become so successful, their economy?
Well, they literally devalued all the currency that was in place and literally set up a new economic financial system, new money. The Weimar mark was gotten rid of and the Reichsmark came into play.
You're kind of like crypto now.
Yeah. So, I mean, they literally just upended it. All the old money was simply worthless. They had printed too much of it.
Yeah.
It had no value. So they had to go to a new economic system.
Well, who was the central bank in charge of it, though?
What's his name? Schock was the finance minister. He set up a new banking system.
Okay. All right. And so
they had a central bank and everything. There was a lot of pain in the switchover, but it was done, and the German economy began to grow back.
Yeah. Well, I'm not so much as for a national socialist I don't like that type of government to be king and rule. I like the Constitution, but I do like a lot of their values and points. As far as number one, and the capitalist by imperialism, I don't like either. You know, but I believe a free and open market with deregulation is the way to go. You know, less regulation, but you have to have oversight because I don't want you know, somebody smoking marijuana flying an airplane, you know, flying a jet or driving a train, you know. So I guess you would just have to use common sense tactics and politics locally and through each state. Have each state have their own, you know, back to sovereign states, you know, and stop letting the federal government dictate to the funding of each state.
Yep.
You know, so, we create these bonds, and they sell these bonds, the treasuries, and these bonds are really the people, a lot of them, but they create these other bonds, these T-bills and whatnot, and they sell it back to the treasury, and the Federal Reserve buys them, and then they sell them back at interest to our treasury, and that's how our treasury gets its money, and then funnels it all out to the states, and then the states have their state bonds, too. I mean, it's really we got to fix the economic system and the way it's run and how it goes. I mean, Wall Street has too much control and influence and power. I know that Ponzi scheme right there is just that's a waste paper basket for all the rich people to play games with us. You know, I mean, that's what it is. I mean, if you understand Wall Street at all and how it works, the trading.
One thing you might want to remember, though, Joe, you know, Nazi Germany did a lot of deficit spending because they went off the gold standard. So that enabled them to do a whole bunch of deficit spending and create kind of a command economy that was somewhere between the Soviet Union and the United States.
Yeah. Okay.
It was still centrally directed, but they allowed private industry. They privatized a lot of state industries. They relied to a great degree on slave labor in the concentration camps even before the war. People had been sentenced to the camps. They were farmed out to business cooperatives and all that. So they had kind of a mixed bag of things they did that, you know, we certainly can't do here in the United States. But they did go off the gold standard just like we did, and they did do a lot of deficit spending, and they did print money, but they poured it into a war economy where they were rearming for the Second World War.
Yeah, because they had a plan already. They were going to take back their land. They had a plan. You know, if they didn't go into France, you know, I mean, if he didn't go after the Soviet Union, I think that was the stupidest any. I just don't understand
why. That was the whole point
of
his enterprise. If you read Mein Kampf, that was everything he said. That was where everything was. He considered the Soviet Union the breadbasket of Germany, and he likened it to the American westward expansion after the Civil War.
But he had the war with England, you know. What could you do? You can't fight a war on two fronts like that, you know.
When he first started, he thought that he could come to a rapprochement with Britain, the British Empire, by letting them have their sphere of influence, and you just let us have continental Europe, and we'll be able to make a kind of a live and let live kind of thing with Great Britain. He didn't really want to fight Great Britain. He probably figured he'd have to fight France, which, of course, he did. But Great Britain, he was kind of willing to leave them out because he kind of admired the British anyway. He thought they were fellow Saxons, you know, and so, you know, hey. You know, it's that kind of thing with him. But war with Russia was an inevitability the moment he seized power. That was where he set his eyes, on the East and Lebensraum.
But he did not have the military strength or the manpower to complete the task. Even if he did go to Moscow and overcome and take the eastern part, even if the Japanese even helped him out, there was no way he could maintain that land and keep it under his control. You know, it'd be just too spread out. He was too spread out. He would need 10.5 million soldiers. He only had 3.5 million at the battle in the beginning, you know. You know, I mean, so 3.5 million. He needed 10.5 to go up to go in, and then he would need another 5 to 6 million to, as reserves in the back to clean, you know, to set up shop. You know, I mean, because how? And he just didn't have that many to do that. There's just no way.
I see your point about sustaining it, but I think he could have achieved it if he hadn't altered the plan, because he had three army groups. He altered the plan of the army group center, and he kind of dispersed what they had to do to go do the double envelopment around Kiev, which yielded 660,000 Russian prisoners and also got him the Ukrainian breadbasket. But it dissipated the main effort of Army Group Center, which was to strike for Moscow, come hell or high water, no matter what, just keep going. And Hitler diverted that effort, and that's what probably kept that from happening. Now, as to the rest of it, if he hadn't gotten Ukrainians so pissed off at him with his damn racial policies, they probably would have fallen in line with him and gone on to help him destroy the Soviet Union.
Yeah.
But, you know,
true.
All them racial policies and the resettlement policies pissed the Ukrainians off, so they went back. They went back into Stalin's arms. And after they had welcomed much of the German army as liberators.
Wow. Yeah, I forgot about that part. Yeah. You know.
So he kind of screwed up his own plan.
Yeah, why did he do that?
Man, you got to read Mein Kampf, man. The guy was a whole bunch of contradictions, man. I mean, like, he had a problem with focus sometimes.
Yeah.
He really did.
He couldn't make a quick decision, I guess. I mean, a long-term decision. He always can make quick decisions.
He can't do it, man. He gets scattershot, you know?
Yeah. You know, he should have listened to his generals, you know? I mean, I'm not saying I would want them to have won the war.
He was the one who was behind most of the planning for it.
Yeah.
And the main effort was to be in the center, Army Group Center. Don't worry about your flanks. That's why you got Army Group North and Army Group South. They're protecting your flank. Drive for Moscow. The emphasis was supposed to have been on Moscow.
When
he got bogged down in all these spectacular victories, which nobody had ever seen before in the history of mankind, encircling and annihilating whole army groups, not just armies, army groups. That took time away from the main effort.
Yeah. I mean, he had 600,000 prisoners. Who's watching them? You know, imagine the manpower wasted.
600,000 in Kiev.
Well, yeah,
you know,
that's
crazy.
Unbelievable.
He was also like a lot of dictators anyway. He had generals who were telling him that he needed to do certain things, but because it wasn't an idea that came from him, he wanted nothing to do with it.
Yeah, yeah, he was pigheaded, but a lot of his ideas, like Sarge said, were brilliant anyway. You know, he really did everything himself anyway, and he had the right plan. He just, you know, he didn't execute it properly, you know?
And then you think about the fact that, you know, like I said, you know, the Soviet Union, unlike even what it was under the Tsars when Napoleon took Moscow, the Soviet Union was as centrally directed and authoritarian state as it was to be. If he had caused the collapse of the Moscow government, his task, even though Germany really didn't have the resources for it, it would have been at least possible without the centralized iron fist of Stalin's dictatorship.
True. That's a good point. That's a good point. But they were ready for him in Moscow now. I mean, you know, a couple motorcycle groups did go into Moscow, and they shot at him, and then he turned around, you know. So
I don't think anybody got closer to 20 kilometers to Moscow. I mean, they could see the spires of the Kremlin with binoculars. That's about as close as they got.
I
don't think anybody got to the outskirts of Moscow, even in the suburbs.
They
got to some of the outer suburbs, but they didn't get much closer than that.
Yeah, yeah.
Because they got bogged down because of the winter, the mud in October. Then the winter set in, and then Zhukov launched that big counterattack, Operation Typhoon.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
That's what threw off everything.
Now,
and Hitler, you know, now that's one time he got something right, because he told the German army not to retreat completely, form a new defensive line and stand fast. And that actually worked out for him. The problem was that, you know, everything got screwed up again when they renewed their offensive in the summer.
Now, let me ask you this question then. Wouldn't it have been better? What if he waited to 1945 and 46, and he waited till he had the V-1 rockets, the V-2, and developed his military program? Would the United States have had the atomic bomb already? Would it have been too late?
Well, you got to remember, man, the United States developed the atomic bomb at the urging of a couple of Hungarian scientists. One of them was a guy named Leo Szilard. He was a contemporary of Einstein. And Einstein sent him as an emissary to Roosevelt to warn him about Nazi developments working with the bomb. And they were developing the bomb to use it against Germany. The thing was that the bomb was not ready until July of 1945, and Germany surrendered in May of 1945.
Yeah, yeah. Now, what if he would have waited and not started the war at all? And just kept his, you know, milked his resources and, you know, and waited 5 years. And the German techno-war machine just kept building and building. And he built his navy up, too, you know, because he needed more battleships. He needed more aircraft carriers. What would have happened then, you think? Would have been
Germany with the real first-class surface fleet that was capable of challenging Great Britain never did achieve, because Germany never achieved a surface fleet. Their U-boat arm was pretty powerful. But the surface fleet never did develop. And I think if the world had seen Germany developing a first-class surface fleet, they probably would have moved against him before he moved against them.
You think so?
That would include the United States and Great Britain and France. Because naval-wise, the surface fleet of the Germans had no chance. With the Italians, they had somewhat of a chance.
Yeah.
And with the Japanese, they would have an even better chance. We'd have three powerful navies. The problem was that Hitler could not cooperate with the Japanese. The Japanese wouldn't cooperate with Hitler in any meaningful way.
Yeah, yeah. That's true. The Japanese kind of stabbed him in the back, you know.
Well, Hitler was counting on them declaring war on the Soviet Union.
Yeah, yeah. Well, the Japanese.
And if they had, the Russians would not have had those Siberian reserves to throw into the German army outside of Moscow. That's what enabled them to force the German army into retreat. They had all these fresh reserves, well-trained winter ski troops in Siberia that were guarding against the Japanese coming in, and the Russians had a well-placed spy named Richard Sorge, who was a communist German living in Tokyo, and he was sending back information to Stalin about the German intentions in the order of battle. And he knew that the Japanese were not going to declare war against the Soviet Union. That enabled him to release all of those reserves for the attack, the counteroffensive in December 1941.
Yeah, Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. I just think he wasn't ready in 1939 and 40. I think if he would have waited a couple more years and just dumped all his reserves into whatever he could, even though, you know, I think that it would have been better off. But then again, like I said, I wouldn't want a Nazi-ruled planet anyway. You know, I mean, I don't think that would be the proper way to go. And nobody would ever be able to conquer the United States anyway. You know, there would be no way.
Well, you know, when you stop to think the reasons he declared war on the United States again in his way of thinking, people say, why would he do that? The Tripartite Pact did not require him to declare war on the United States, so why would he do it? Well, in his way of thinking, he's got the Japanese Navy to tie up the United States Navy. He said, Japanese haven't been defeated in battle in 3,000 years. Okay?
Yeah.
So I got them. They're going to tie. They've already been sweeping everything before them in China and everywhere else. They got this really first-class, first-rate, modern Navy. I'm a continental power. The United States is going to take a long time to gear up before they can get over here. In the meantime, we'll have subdued the Soviet Union. They're going to keep the United States Navy bottled up, and boom. They've already knocked out the Pacific Fleet. So 4 days later, I can declare war on the United States, and we'll be able to divvy up the spoil. He knew the United States was a great industrial power. He just had no comprehension as to how absolutely great it could be. Nobody in the world could match the United States production figures. It was beyond belief even today. It's hard to imagine being able to do that kind of industrial output in the way the United States did from the years 1943 to 1945. It is hard to believe.
Yeah.
Well, you know, right at the beginning of the war, too, the United States was training our soldiers with wooden guns because we didn't have guns. We didn't have anything to help them fight.
United States Army had a smaller army than Romania.
Yeah, mm-hmm. But they said Japan.
Smaller than Romania.
If Japan would have attacked the United States with a ground force after hitting Pearl Harbor, they said they could have got as far as Chicago.
I don't think so. I really don't. I don't think Japanese would have had the logistics for that. They might have been able to take the Hawaiian Islands if they had seized Midway. And they might have been able to use Midway as a springboard to launch bombing attacks on the West Coast and maybe to launch raids along the West Coast and in the southern border of Mexico, bordering Mexico. They wouldn't attack Mexico. I don't think they want to go to war with Mexico.
They were able to do that.
I don't think they would have had the logistics to drive all the way to
And that's what I say about the United States, Sarge. I always talk about that. The United States, really, there's no country on earth, even China, could really mount a ground invasion on the United States. It'd be impossible. It'd be suicide. Too much land, too many people armed, too strong of a military, too far to go.
That's what Yamamoto said. But I tell you one thing, though, I do think they could have taken the Hawaiian Islands. That was possible.
Yeah.
And they could have used it as a staging base to raid other installations along the West Coast.
Yeah. Well, they always say, like, Washington State, Seattle, Oregon, Portland, stuff like that would be the hit, you know, be targeted. Then you got Southwest. But let me tell you something. You ain't coming into the Gulf Coast. You ain't coming down there. You know, and you're not – and New York City area, you're not getting in there. You're not going to get into New York City. You get killed, you know.
Nah, but the Pacific Fleet, man, was just – wiped out with the exception, crucially, of the aircraft carriers. There was no Pacific Fleet that was left to oppose any serious Japanese effort in that area.
Why didn't they do it then? Why didn't the Japs keep moving their fleets towards the United States and attack and attack and attack?
Because
why
they wanted to
take
the Philippines, Wake Island, and all those possessions in the Marshalls and the Philippines, mainly, Philippine Islands. They wanted to create a perimeter. They wanted to capture Dutch Indonesia, the Malayas, Singapore, Hong Kong, Wake Island, the Marshall Islands, the Gilberts, all of these areas so they could make a defensive perimeter from which they would beat back any American counterattack because they thought they would have superiority at sea. That was their objective.
Yeah, yeah.
And they want to build a solid ring around the Pacific, and it was enormous. The area they were talking about was vast, and at the time, given the relative strength of the Japanese Navy and the United States Navy in 1942, it would have been possible for them to do so. But Midway upset all that. It was a battle of Midway that enabled the United States from that moment on for the rest of the war to go from the strategic defensive to the strategic offensive.
Do you think, Sarge, that China or today, in today's, you think the United States will ever be attacked?
Yeah, I think it's very probable that the Chinese doing what they're doing. If they're going to make a move into Taiwan, they are going to have to offset the American military power in Southeast Asia. And I think it's entirely possible we could see a preemptive strike on American assets in that region.
But I'm talking about here in the mainland. You think we could ever be attacked with ground troops?
No, I don't think so. That's not likely. Is it possible? Sure. But I think it would be beaten back rather handily.
Yeah.
But no, I don't think that would be their objective necessarily.
Yeah, because what resources do we have that they would want? You know what I mean?
Oh, they want our oil. They buy a lot of oil from Russia.
Yeah, you know, but they don't have
a lot of oil. They got a lot of everything else when it comes to other minerals and other things.
Yeah, let me tell you, Canada's no joke now. Canadian troops are no joke now.
Yeah, come on. Canada wants – yeah, the Canadians, their army is really small. It really is. I'm not saying it's useless. I mean, it's well-trained. It's well-equipped. Canadians have a pretty good fighting tradition, but they got a really small army.
Yeah. Well,
and I don't know if they're really up to their ancestors at Gallipoli and, you know, Caen and places like that where they fought like tigers. I don't know, man. You know, the Canadians at Vimy Ridge in World War One, and the Canadians who took Caen and the Bushboard Ridge and all that stuff. I mean, them Canadians are pretty damn tough and resolute opponents. I don't know if modern-day Canadians are up to that level.
The ones who
stormed Dieppe, and despite the casualties they took, they didn't want to quit.
Well, Sarge, we're definitely looking at a World War III scenario in today's time.
Yeah.
Well, I'm worried about it, and we got the worst possible president in charge of all that we can ever conceivably have, and you got a backup. For backup, we got an utterly giggling idiot moron has the backup.
Yeah.
It's probably never been a worse time for it to happen.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know.
And they're pushing as hard as they can to get what they want, even though neither one at the top are competent.
Yeah. Well, they said Canada's military only has 68,000 armed troops.
Tiny. Tiny. That's what, five divisions? Four divisions?
Yeah. I mean, not too big, you know. They got, 419 units, they call them. You know? So.
Yeah.
That's.
They got a fairly well-developed air defense system. I'm not exactly sure what the numbers are, but they are part of NORAD, so. They've been involved in exercises to protect it, you know, from aerial attack, you know, missiles, bombers, stuff like that. They got a pretty well-developed air defense system, I'll give them that much.
Yeah, yeah, you're right.
And their Navy's pretty small, too, so there you go.
Yeah, yeah. And the Air Force, they got about, they got 31 CF-18Bs in their inventory and 72 CF-18As. Which are very, very, the aircraft are very, those are good aircraft.
Yeah, they're first-rate aircraft, but they ain't many of them.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you got to remember, they're connected to England, though, with the Royal Army, you know?
Well, they're in the Commonwealth, so yeah, I mean, they're part of the British Commonwealth still.
Yeah, yeah. The British Empire.
They're not part of the British Army, no, they're a sovereign nation.
Yeah, yeah, you're right.
They're not
right.
A colony of Great Britain anymore.
They rely on NATO now, Sarge. It's more about NATO, you know?
Yeah. And by the way, most of these places still ain't coughing up their share of the money for NATO.
Yeah, yeah. That's the one thing Trump brought
up. Trump
was
making them do it. When Trump was in there, they were just starting to do it.
Mm-hmm. Yep, you're right.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. But in one of, you know, I don't look at the size of the army as being effective as much as I do the leadership and the training of them, because when you go back to World War II with Finland, they did pretty well, but they had some good leadership and they well trained.
Man, the Finnish defense during the 1940 Russo-Finnish War was a model of how to conduct asymmetrical warfare with conventional armies against a vastly superior force. The Finns kicked the stuffing out of the Soviet Union when they went into Finland. It was really, that's one of the things that encouraged Hitler to say, look, if they can't do this against the Finns, what are they going to do against my mighty Wehrmacht? Nothing. The Finns beat the stuffing out the Soviets until they just decided to get everything together and just steamroll them with massive amounts of troops.
The Finns, man,
were just winning tactical victory after tactical victory, just leaving heaps of Russian dead all over Finland, all over the Karelian Isthmus, because that's what they were really fighting over. That's where Gustav Mannerheim set up the Mannerheim Line. And the Soviet Union was just hurling itself in headlong assaults against the Mannerheim Line, and these Finnish snipers and these fast-moving ski troops armed with submachine guns would come out of nowhere and just pick off whole Russian columns and just leave all kinds of Russians dead, disorganized, and confused.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And then when they decided to stop and they signed a peace treaty with Russia, part of that peace treaty was to get Germany out of Scandinavia, and they gave them 6 weeks to do it, and they did it as a beaten army.
Well, you're talking about that would be what you call a continuation war. Because the Finns wanted to get back the territory they had to cede to the Soviet Union. They joined up with the Germans in the continuation war in the region around Leningrad and all those other places around up in there in the north of the Soviet Union. And so you're talking about really two wars. It was the Russo-Finnish War of 1940 and then the continuation war from 1944 until early 1945 before Germany surrendered. They actually became allies of the West, And like I said, they kicked the Germans out because they had signed a treaty, an armistice with the Soviets.
Yep.
Well, I'll tell you what, it's, I don't know. Real quick, Sarge, what do you think about this Russian prisoner they got over there? They kidnapped this journalist.
Well, the State Department sent him a warning, said that any American citizen in Russia was at risk of arbitrary arrest. Now, I haven't looked into it enough to know what to make out of it, but, I suspect that there might be maybe Russia's considering breaking off diplomatic relations with the United States. I don't know. With this new Iranian, Russian, Chinese axis that's forming, who knows? They might be about ready to break off diplomatic relations with us.
I know. Let's see.
That'd be another thing we'd have to attribute to the old hand, Senile Joe, 47 years in government. We need to have him in office because he understands international rules and norms.
Mm-hmm.
He'll keep everything stable. Remember? That's why we had to vote for him, because that Trump guy was dangerous. All he did was keep everything stable and make a rapprochement with North Korea and Russia. And we can't have that now, can we?
Well, it says right here, they got a travel warning over there. And the United States is urging all U.S. citizens to leave.
Yeah,
Russia,
but old Joe has that all in hand. I don't understand why it's happening. I mean, I just can't figure it out. Can you? I mean, with a steady hand, he knew every world leader there was to know. He had all the experience. He would have been vice president twice. He was the United States senator. He had all the answers, didn't he? Wow, Donald Trump was just a rank amateur. He just negotiated all them peace deals in the Middle East. I don't know. He just lucked into it, I guess. I mean, what do you think?
Yeah. Well, he was negotiating those peace treaties, the left and the media was all saying he's going to get us into war.
Yeah. Well, at the United States Embassy, we got a travel advisory: do not travel to Russia. So that's it. I mean, I don't know how many people are over in Russia right now. Anyway, how many people we got over there? You know, I mean, a couple hundred, maybe a couple thousand.
Good question.
I guess
probably more than we left behind in Afghanistan.
Yeah, I know. I know. Well, I'd get out anyway. I wouldn't want to go over there. Why would you want to live over there anyway? You know?
Yeah. That's for sure. I don't know. I'm just glad I'm not over there.
Yeah. I mean, I wouldn't want to even go over there myself. I wouldn't even want to go over there. No reason to. Oh, look at this. Russians might force U.S. citizens living in country to fight for them. How about that, huh?
Say that again. What do you say?
Russians may force U.S. citizens living in their country, Russia, to fight in the army against Ukraine.
Oh, boy.
Well, you do know that the United States has laws on the books. Selective service laws say that if you're lawfully resident in the United States, you may be drafted in the United States Armed Forces to fight. So
yeah.
You probably got similar laws to what they got over there.
Yeah.
Like your permanent resident status here in the United States, you're subject to draft.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, there's even an article now out of the UK that says Russia lacks munitions and military equipment to rebuild combat power. That's probably why they're looking at China so hard.
And we have given Ukraine more money for their defense than the Russian budget has for theirs. The Russian budget for their whole military is about $70-something billion a year. We gave $108 billion to Ukraine in one damn week.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
We're probably giving about $180 billion. That's more than twice, three times, well, almost three times the Russian defense budget.
That's right.
What are they doing with all that money?
Exactly.
Paying their pension? Salting it away in Switzerland?
Yeah.
It's amazing, I think. And then on top of that, now Joe Biden is trying to tell us that transgender Americans shape our nation's soul. Oh, my God.
Yeah, all 1% of them, man. They're really the backbone of this country right there. Yes, sir. Men with mental illnesses and women with mental illnesses are the soul of the country. These people are positively delusional as well as being destructive.
Yeah, they're, you know, and the sooner the people wake up as to how destructive they've been, I don't know. I'm still surprised that there's people asleep yet.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. It's crazy. I mean, I don't see how he could have got elected, Biden. I just don't see the numbers. I mean, there was just no way that many Democrats came out and voted for Biden. I'm sorry.
Well, you know, I look at the way that the whole thing before the election happened. You know, Biden had troubles doing a rally where more than 100 people would show up, but Donald Trump would do these with tens of thousands of people showing up.
Yeah.
And they're trying to tell us that Biden won by a bigger margin than any president in the history of the United States? I don't think so.
I saw it happening that night, man. I thought for sure Trump won. Well, you know, but when 1 o'clock in the morning came, it was all over. I said, oh, boy. They pulled a flim-flam.
Yeah, until 3 o'clock.
Yeah.
And that shouldn't have been allowed in the first place, that one. But
a lot of things shouldn't have been allowed at that time.
Well, you know, if If that would have been the other way around and Biden was actually winning and then at 3 o'clock in the morning a whole bunch of votes came in and suddenly Trump won, that would not have been allowed.
Yeah. Sad.
And, right now I'm looking at this whole thing with the Trump indictment. They're talking about how Eddie Glaude, I'm not sure who he is, a Princeton professor, has now said we are in a Cold War. Trump is an avatar. So there's even liberals who are looking at this and saying, no, this is not right. So I don't know. It's going to be interesting to see what the next couple of weeks give us.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. It's going to be a definite persuasion of how this country is going to be and really what road we're really going to go down here soon. And mm-hmm. there might not be any turning back.
Yeah, and John Nolte says that the Democrat Party's prosecutorial abuse crusade to rig 2024 election has only begun. So we've got a lot to look at what's coming. As they've gotten away with so much crap that they should never have even gotten to the light of day. So they're getting pretty giddy on this whole thing. As to what is going on, and Jim Jordan is now saying that Alvin Bragg's he's asking, is Alvin Bragg investigating Hunter's anonymous art sales in New York City? So they're bringing up a bunch of stuff now, and it's just nothing is being said.
Oh, man. There's so much more yet to be said, though. Just stay tuned and buckle your seatbelt.
Yeah, you know, what they're doing is they're making it so darned easy to do a show. With so much that they're doing, if you have a show that actually shows that you have a love for America, they're making this so easy.
Man, they just give us talk show fodder for the mill, man. I mean, it's unbelievable what they provide for us every day.
Well, what's going on with your friend Joe there, Sarge? Is he getting that show or what?
I haven't spoken to him lately, so I imagine he's doing what he's doing on it. He hasn't talked to me lately, so I don't know.
Okay.
He could contact me. I'd put him on Conservative Nation Media.
I forgot what he's got going on. He's got somebody who contacted him about a podcast show or something or some kind of show. So you know, we'll see what happens, you know. We definitely have the numbers on that.
Yeah, well, you know, this has actually been one of the funnest shows I've done in a long time, and I've hardly had to do a darn thing.
How much time you got left here?
Well, actually, my second hour is over, and I'm in the third now.
Oh, okay. All right. So I'm getting ready to sign off here, actually.
Yep, I look like I got it. Once again, my canine friend has come to in a room with me. He's sitting down in front of me. He's looking at me with his big brown eyes, saying, "Don't you know I got to go for a walk?"
Yep.
So I got to take my buddy out there, and we got to go out there and do a little romping for a little bit.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it was a good show. It was a good show talking. I was thinking about later on doing a documentary show. I usually do those late at night sometimes. You know, just do a documentary. I play, you know, something about the Founding Fathers or war or something.
Wow.
Something I dig up, you know, that nobody really has, you know.
Yeah. So when are you going to be back on again, bud?
Oh, I'm definitely going to be back. Oh, who? Me or this
guy? Both of you, for that matter.
I'll be on Tuesday night, Sarge.
Okay,
I'll be next
good.
Friday.
Can you be on next Friday?
Oh, wait, next Friday, is that Good Friday?
I think it is, yes, I think it is.
I might have to reschedule my show for Sunday because on Good Friday, I'll be at my church. I run cameras there, so if the church is having a Good Friday thing, I'm probably going to be at church.
What are you guys doing at Good Friday? What's Friday? What holiday is that? Jesus didn't rise on Friday.
No, he didn't.
I don't think that the record keeping was quite that accurate back then, so you got to start. You got to commemorate it somehow.
It was on a Wednesday.
Yeah. But I'll probably it all depends on what's going on. I might have my next show on Sunday or maybe Saturday after Vince does his show.
Okay. All right. Well, mine will be on Tuesday. Hey, you got to come over to my show on Tuesday.
I will do that. What time do you have it scheduled for?
7 o'clock, 7 p.m.
Oh, boy. And that's Eastern time, right?
Yes, yeah. I usually call politicians sometimes. Well, I think I'm going to give a couple of them a call, put them live on the phone again. Sarge knows about that.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah,
definitely about that. Well, let me get going. This dog is starting to whine, so I better get out of here. Good
all
talking
right,
to you guys. I look forward to talking to you again.
Good
right.
talking to you, Sarge.
Take care now. Bye.
Bye.
God bless you.
All right. Okay. All right. Yeah. All right. Yeah. So come on over. Pop over on Tuesday.
Okay. I will do that. It's about 7 o'clock. That would be 5 o'clock my time.
Yeah. Yeah. Restoring our republic. Understanding the times in which we live today. Joseph Gibson.
Yeah. I will definitely. I'll write that down and make sure restoring our republic.
Yep. 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 657-383-0616 is the phone number. So. Give it a shot. You know, we always always like to hear fresh voices on the show, and you know, and listen to the. You know, we get some interesting discussions on there. I usually pull about four or five people on for talking points at a time. You know.
Yeah, and I like doing that kind of thing too. I've had like in on this show, I've had one guy who was actually. Had called in early, but he never did answer when I talked to him. So I just left him on mute, on hold, because I figured he was just there to listen.
Yeah.
But when I saw your number show up, with Sarge, his is a 111 number, and I usually don't do anything with those. But when he calls, I answer because he's good.
Yeah. Well, wait till they press one. You got to press one. That's what I always tell everybody. I always announce the phone number, and I'll say, press 1 if you want to talk, because some people don't want to talk, you know?
Yeah. I'll have to remember that, because I never really thought about that one. So,
yeah.
I've been doing this for, like, more than 11 years now, so it's I just learned
something. Yeah, you're in overtime now. Yeah, you're in overtime now, so.
Yeah, and I enjoy it. Last week, I think I did a full 3 hours and 6 minutes or something before – Blog Talk
Who'd
Radio.
Who yeah, you have on last week?
Sarge.
Oh, really? Okay. All right.
Yeah.
All right.
He called in the second hour, and we went from the second hour into the third hour and did the whole thing. So it was a lot of fun. I enjoyed it.
Sarge is a late night guy.
Yeah. Yeah, my show is scheduled to start at 9 p.m. Eastern time, so it's 7 o'clock here. So I...
Oh. I got you.
So, and when I first started this show, I was in Indiana, which was Eastern time. So I did it at 7 p.m. because it was getting late for me back then. But when I moved here to New Mexico, it actually changed that whole thing for me. So it was really.
There you go. All right. Well, have a good night. All right.
Oh, you too, and God bless you, and thanks for calling.
All right,
and I'll be into your show on Tuesday.
All right, take care.
Okay, bye-bye. Okay, I'm on this call. Are you there?
Yeah, I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Oh, I missed out my buddy Sergeant Joe. Yeah, I was busy doing some stuff, and I didn't push one because I keep my hands free to take care of stuff I'm taking care of. And then whenever I heard you unmute me, I thought, okay, cool, I'll just keep myself on mute till I'm ready to jump in. And then when I got ready to jump in, you'd already put me on hold, so then I couldn't get back in.
Oh, yeah. they've changed a few things on this thing. Is what, you know, I guess when the people want to talk, there's a little hand that shows up there. And that was when I had unmuted you the first time, and there was a little hand there. So I thought, well, he wants to talk. So I changed it.
No, there could not have been a little hand there when you unmuted me, because unless it accidentally got tricked some way. But anyway, the point I was wanting to chime in when you guys were talking about all the stuff that was going on with the media and talking mm-hmm. about Trump and this indictment and all. Also, I wanted to point out that, you know, a lot of times we get overwhelmed with all the stuff that's going on in the media as a distraction to keep us distracted from some of the other stuff. You know, Andy Biggs, the representative of Arizona?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, he's putting forth a bill. And do you remember Michelle Bachmann?
Oh, yeah. I used to love that lady. She was one of the people that just was constantly out there, and don't hear too much from her anymore.
Yeah, well, hey, check it out. She's pushed Andy Biggs' bill, H.R. 79, to withdraw from the WHO. And she's got two websites that she told about. It's stopthewho.com, stopthewho.com, and exitthewho.com. exitthewho.com. And I don't know actually who oversees it, all that, but Michelle Bachmann's promoting it, and she's telling everybody to, hey, contact all your representatives and get behind Andy Biggs, H.R. 79, because she said that what's going on is because we're still under a Wars Powers Act for the executive, you know, branch to be able to manipulate things without Congress, then Biden's administration is trying to hold off till May in order to get us into a deal with the UN where the WHO will now proceed overtaking or overseeing all of our medical issues in America, and will be no longer a sovereign entity to ourselves on that. And so she's saying, hey, contact your Congress and try to tell, you know, Congress to, hey, stop this War Powers Act stuff, because, you know, we don't need it anymore. And for whatever reason, Congress just hasn't, you know, taken it back from Biden. And then Biden is trying to bide his time, so to speak. For some reason, this thing goes down in May. And she's going around telling people about it, and I didn't know if you guys heard about it. It's H.R. 79 is the bill by Andy Biggs, and it's something about withdrawing from the WHO, so that way Mr. Biden and his administration are not able to use a treaty under the War Powers Act to entrap us with the World Health Organization under like a one-world governing situation. I don't know it well enough, but she does. And if you go to exitthewho.com and stopthewho.com, it'll explain it better than I could.
Yeah, I've got that. I put that in the chat room. I think Sarge is still in there. And I've written it down.
Hey, Sarge,
so gonna...
man.
Yeah, I see him still sitting in there. But I've got that written down, HR 79, Andy Biggs, and Michelle Bachmann. Stop the WHO.com and exit the WHO.com. Those are things I'm going to look up. That's I hadn't heard that one yet.
Yeah, well, I just barely heard about it just recently within the last few days myself, so I just wanted to get on and share that. But, yeah, whenever I call, and now I'm sure there's other people who do the same thing. Isn't your name Robert?
Yes, it is, huh?
Okay, I wasn't sure if I remembered right or not. I've heard you before, but I don't catch your show all the time just for timing and other priorities and stuff. But I know a lot of people are like me that call in just because they want to be hands-free to run around and do what they want, and they're just listening. And then they jump in whenever they want to by pressing one. And, you know, I don't know. All hosts understood how that worked, so I just took it for granted. So sorry if I confused you with the way I've been calling in from time to time. But I don't catch your show that often. I don't know why. Timing or something.
Yeah, it could possibly be, because I've always had it on Fridays at 9 o'clock Eastern, and which is 7 o'clock my time. So I usually do it on Fridays. So it's
– Yeah.
Every once in a while, I'll end up having to reschedule, and I'll go to Sunday nights at 7 or something like that. But usually it's on Friday nights at 9 o'clock Eastern.
Yeah, I was just kind of surprised. A lot of times, you know, we're on Friday, Saturday nights, people go out and do stuff and whatnot. So that may have a lot to do with the fact that I didn't catch you that much on, if you just do it on Fridays. But, you know, it's like I was just kind of looking around trying to see who was alive tonight, and I was hanging out, and I said, hey, let's check out Robert. And then when I heard Sarge come on and Joe come on, I was like, hey, there's my buddies. I'll just hang tight till I get done doing what I'm doing, because I like to multitask and get things taken care of. And then whenever I got done, you know, doing what I was doing, getting ready to tune into the show, I was on mute. I was like, dang, man, how does this work?
Yeah, I'm going to have to remember that. I did not know that, because I have a Mac. My computer's a Mac, and for a long time, nothing ever showed up. It just showed up that the person was calling, and it never gave me any notice as to whether they wanted to talk or not.
Blog Talk doesn't announce it either. So really, the host has to take time out on air just to inform their audience, you know, hey, if you want to listen after the live broadcast on the internet stops, you know, we go into after hours, then you can call in and listen by phone if you want to. And if you are listening by phone, by calling whatever your number is, if you do decide to chime in and want to participate in the conversation, just press 1 on your dial pad, and I'll notice on my dashboard that you put your hand up, and then I'll get to you as soon as I can to bring you into the show. I mean, it's trying to tricky that Blog Talk, I don't have a Blog Talk account like, you know, a host does and stuff, so I don't know what they inform you with whenever you sign up to get together an account like that. So I just kind of assumed that they had an instruction manual or something that told all the people that signed up to be a host that here's all the different things you can do with your account and how to get it done and, you know, inform the host.
I never got that, because I did my first show, like I was saying earlier, 10 years ago yesterday was my first show on Conservative Nation Media. And at that point in time, I was just being brought in. The guy who does my intro for my first hour, who's Duke Brooks, was one of the CEOs of Conservative Nation Media. And at that point in time, I was just another show. I was added in. And then when I think it was in 2016 or 2017, the guys who were in charge of CNM just kind of said, okay, I don't want anything to do with this anymore, and they stopped. And when I suddenly found out that what was going on, that something had happened, my show had suddenly been able to go from like a two-hour show to a 30-minute show, because the funding that they had in there was gone. And
I think I remember hearing you.
Yeah,
no, I'm sorry.
And then what I did was I got a hold of Michael Smith and Duke Brooks, who were the two main people of CNM, and I told them, I says, if you want to get this started, I'll go ahead and pay the monthly thing for Blog Talk Radio. And they said, no, we don't want it. If you want it, it's all yours. And that's how I ended up with it.
Yeah, I think I remember you sharing that story before. It's been probably 3 or 4 years ago, I think I remember I heard you say that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, well, and, that's good. At least it's in good hands, and you're trying to make it work and, you know, trying to get connected with a number of other people that help assist in making it work together as a team.
Yeah. Well, it's like on tomorrow night I have Vincent Brown, who does Black by Color Only, which right at the moment is one of our highest rating shows. And then on Sundays, we have one of the original people of CNM, who is, we call him Uncle Bing Fisher. He has a show called American by Design. He's been on hiatus for a while, and he's been talking about coming back, but he hasn't done that yet. And then we have another guy that was down in Texas who was doing a show called Nada with Mango, and he was on Wednesday night, but he had a whole bunch of bad things happen to him, so he hasn't been able to do his show, and he's just kind of dropped out of sight right now. But we're just looking for new shows. Hopefully one of these days somebody will come in and say, hey, I'd like to join.
Yeah, well like you and Sarge was discussing earlier, it's no cakewalk. You know, there's work that goes into it to make it work. And, you know, certain people have a personality that comes across right, but then they also have to have that due diligence mentality to get the work done and just not be into it for the fame of, you know, hey, my name's on the marquee, I'm, you know, famous or whatever.
Yeah.
But it's a lot of work, man.
It is. I can remember when I first started doing this in 2014, it took me all week to come up with a 2-hour show to figure out what the heck. Now I can do it in a couple of hours with what's going on.
Especially if you get people like Joe and Sarge that are really good talkers. They know the stuff and they stay well informed about what's going on and they know how to communicate.
Absolutely. This is the first time that Joe has called in. He's been in the chat room a couple of times, but he's never called in. So I was glad to see him do that because that actually helped a lot.
Well, Joe and Sarge go back a long time, and every time Sarge ends up on a show, if Joe finds out he's on it, you'll bet you're going to hear Joe jump in because they always have good conversation, and they feed off of each other, and that makes it for even a more dynamic and more informative show.
Yeah, and I know that Sarge usually calls in on Black by Color Only on tomorrow night, and another one that calls in is Pionki.
Yeah, he's on a lot of these shows too. Matter of fact, Pionki will be on a show tomorrow night, and I'm almost there every Saturday too. Have you ever heard of Donnie C's Beyond the Mainstream show on Saturday evening?
I have heard of it, but I haven't ever listened to it.
Okay. Well, I think it's like 9 p.m. Eastern time. It's 347-324-3752, but it's just Donnie-C or Beyond the Mainstream if you look it up on Blog Talk Radio. But he goes on, and he just almost stays on until Blog Talk kicks him off because he'll stay on. The live show will end, and then he'll go into the after-hour part, and then the after-hour part will finally end the recording, and then he'll keep going past when the recording quits until Blog Talk is the one that kicks us off. We'll be on his show for 4 or 5 hours.
Yeah, that's essentially where I'm at now. I'm in that third hour thing where the Blog Talk Radio really doesn't allow, but and nobody hears it unless you're in on the phone until the archives come out, and then it's all there. And last week we did like 3 hours and 6 minutes before Blog Talk Radio kicked us off, and that was the end of it.
So how long have you been on this evening?
Right now 2 hours and 26 minutes so far. 2 hours,
27
minutes.
Okay. Well, and you can't receive any more calls, can you?
Well, actually, I can. If it shows up in the studio, I can do it. You know, my number is 646-478-5284.
Somebody would have to know to call you now because it's not being broadcast on the internet through streaming, so therefore they wouldn't know that you're still on unless they just out of the – you know, Blue decided to call your number to see.
Yeah, exactly.
Because I struggle. That's why I like listening to people like Joe and Sarge and Donnie and Pionki, and because they are great at being able to be a conversationalist. I learn from them, and then I'll jump in with what little tidbits that I hear, just like I heard within the last few days about exitthewho.com and stuff. So I bring to the table what I can, but for the most part, I'm not as good a talker as they are, so I leave that up to the professionals.
Oh, I enjoy the heck out of doing my show when Sarge and Pionki call in, because I can actually just sit back and relax and just let them just take the show because they're good at it. They know what they're talking about.
They're just full of knowledge and wisdom and information. That's what makes it work. I mean, you know, you and I don't know about everybody else, but like for me, not everybody has that gift. I mean, I might know some things, but knowing how to feel comfortable about communicating, I struggle with that. That's always been my thing. So I just do the best I can, and hopefully it's good enough. And I just bring what I can, but trying to keep up with all this stuff makes your head spin. And like Joe was saying, with all this stuff going on with President Trump, it's a malicious prosecution.
And so mm-hmm. to me, it's really just another manipulation of the public, you know, the court of public opinion, because the fruit, you know, the, what is it called? The fruit of the poisonous tree doctrine is probably
yeah.
going to kick in when they get into the actual court, because the probable cause and the material evidence and facts that actually validate the accused charges or allegations are not going to probably hold up. And I'm like mm-hmm. going, well, within reason, even if they do hold up, and it, like they were talking about the charge about if he used his campaign account as a means to transfer this money to Mr. Cohen to pay off whatever, Horny Damsel, what's her name?
Yeah, the Stormy Daniels or...
Yeah. I was being funny. I always just was like, because her name's Stormy Daniels and she's a porn star. I always just was playing that she's a horny damsel.
Yeah, that's a good one.
But anyway, you know, the point of it is all of these little nuances about the law are going to come into play in the real court of law, and they're going to be able to notice this is a vexatious litigation case where there's abuse of process and abuse of discretion, and they'll probably say, well, we don't have anything here, but the people that are bringing forth this nonsense, they just really want to take advantage of the ignorance of the masses of we, the American citizens, because most citizens don't get into the details of how courts actually process material fact and eyewitness testimony and stuff. They don't care about that stuff for the most part. So if somebody commits extrinsic fraud or if fraudulent conveyance or what, they don't understand that stuff to even know. Even if what little I do understand about it, when I'm trying to communicate it and explain it to other people, I'm not the greatest teacher in the world. It goes over people's head, or they just don't care, you know. So anyway, the point I'm trying to say is once it gets into the real court of law, the fruit of the poisonous tree doctrine will stick up. And like you guys were saying about malicious prosecution, they'll probably kick it out. But the public opinion will have already been formed that Donald Trump must be some form of criminal because he was accused of all of these crimes.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, one of the things that I had on the stuff that I was looking, I had about all kinds of audio clips that I was going to play today. I never got to play them. One of them was Dershowitz, who was saying that this indictment is a travesty and all this stuff. And he's a liberal Democrat. He says he doesn't like the idea of this because he voted against Trump twice. He says if Trump runs again, he wants the chance to vote against him again. which, you know, I thought, well, that's an interesting way to look at it. But you know, he's a liberal Democrat, but he believes in the Constitution.
Right. I've heard him talk myself as, yeah, and I'm with you on in that support of Mr. Dershowitz, because I appreciate him and Jonathan Turley. You know, they both are pretty much like that in that sense. And, hey, I mean, what can you do? Play the clip. Put it on. At least it'll be a part of this show, so that way whenever people go download the program, you know, podcast to listen to it at some other point, it'll be a part of the show, so they'll be able to hear it for themselves, and that gives more credibility to what we're talking about. I'll mute myself.
Yeah, here it is.
Oh, good. Alan, can you hear me? This is a challenge of breaking news.
I hear you fine.
Okay,
yeah.
Great. All right, Alan, the thing that I'm stuck on at this moment, I just spoke with Joseph Moreno about it because it seems to me it might be
so
deliberate.
Yeah.
All right, your thoughts on statute of limitations.
First of all, I think the dumbest thing that ever happened was for the DA to indict Donald Trump while he was out of the state of New York. He's in Florida. And so it demonstrates that they could have indicted him any time within the statute of limitations. It totally dissipates their argument that he had to be in New York to be indicted. We now know that he was indicted when he was outside of New York.
If you've got the two-year statute of limitations on the underlying maybe irregularities or whatever it is for the entries of the payment, then you've got the election aspect to it?
Well, first of all, this is the most stretched case I have ever seen in the 60 years I practice criminal law. I've seen efforts by prosecutors to stretch statutes to target and fit a particular person on the basis of a Get Trump analysis. That's the name of my book, Get Trump. I have never seen a case in which the statutes have to be stretched so far to get him. This is just very, very questionable constitutionality. And, you know, when you're going after the man who's running for president of the United States against the incumbent president, you better have a strong case. And this is about the weakest case I've seen in 60 years of law practice.
I think you also need to sort of factor into this. I think it's important to factor into this, the whole issue of prosecutorial discretion. And it's one thing to stretch it for a terrorism murder charge. And I'm not saying, you know, assuming that this happened, it's unseemly to pay off someone. Yeah. I get that. But in terms of sort of the gravity of the offense, when you've got all these corporations with their NDAs paying off women every single day of the week, probably there's one signed while you and I talk.
Right.
The sort of the whole idea that they're going to this extreme thing and for, I mean, using prosecutorial discretion, I don't, you know, that's what is, I find stunning. This is like, it seems a little bit like a corporate NDA with some, at best, fancy footwork on some financial records. I don't know. Let's see more.
Well, has any NDA in history, has anybody ever who paid money off, hush money, ever listed on the corporate records the real reason why they did it? According to the indictment, I haven't seen it, but according to what we know about the indictment, Bragg expected somehow Trump to write on his corporate form, I paid hush money to a porn star in order to prevent my wife from knowing about my adulterous affair. That's the reason I paid the hush money. Has anybody in history ever done that? Has anybody in history ever been indicted for not doing that? This is a first, and you don't use creativity in the criminal law to target somebody.
Well, and the other thing, too, is going back to the NDA reference or comparison, is that when corporations pay women, they're not paying the money of the they're paying money that doesn't even belong to them, to the shareholders. I mean, in some ways, they're taking shareholder money to
right.
cover up what's going on in there. I mean, that's even like, it's not even like, at least if this happened, it's Trump's money. But in these corporations, they're taking shareholder money, and the shareholders don't even know that they're paying for the bad behavior.
Look, this is the worst case of prosecutorial discretion abuse I've seen, but how should anybody be surprised when the Attorney General of New York and the District Attorney both run on the promise to get Trump? They have to keep their political promise, so they promise to get him, they get elected, and then they rummage through all the statute books to try to find something to pin on him, and they can't find anything in the statute books, so they combine two inapplicable statutes, and they say 1 plus 1 equals 11, but it's 0 plus 0 equals 0.
Okay, there you go. That was it. The one where he said that it was that he wanted to be able to have the right to vote against Trump a third time, that was another one that was probably about a week ago, I think.
Yeah,
but
well, I'm sorry, go ahead.
Oh, that's the one I got from the Greta Van Susteren show, and she's a lawyer too, so she's another one who knows what the heck is going on.
Yeah, but this was still great. And I mean, it's to the point. And when he's talking about, you know, they shouldn't be using this creative mindset or whatnot to manipulate through the law and whatnot, they're going to find out that's an abuse of process, an abuse of discretion, like an abuse of power. And
mm-hmm.
Donald Trump can afford these high-dollar lawyers that know the difference. So it's all really for manipulating the minds of the public. They're not trying to win this in the lawsuit, I mean, in the court of law.
No, they're not.
I mean, they're just putting on it. It's just like all of the other things that they accused Trump of and put him through the impeachment and tried to take him to court, and they all got thrown out or dismissed. Because it's the same stuff. They're just using the process and our tax dollars or our, you know, governmental power. They're abusing you and me because we're all mm-hmm. joint owners in governing. You know, you own the self-governing of you. That's your private property. I own the self-governing of me. And that's why, you know, Vice President Pence had a right to
sent remand all of the election votes back to the states to make sure that there was integrity throughout the full chain of custody in all of our voting to make sure that it was legit, because you and I have that power as it's our individual private property that they're managing as our managers and administrators. So they are breaking the fiduciary responsibility between you and me, or between them and you and I, and they're exercising undue influence and bullying and coercion, and therefore they are the ones that's guilty of extrinsic fraud, denying you and I our due process rights of good faith bargaining, good faith negotiating, mutuality of agreement, freedom of contract, freedom of conscience, freedom of association, and it's destroying the legal effect of your private property, the self-governing of you. Under the Declaration of Independence, you are an independent, self-governing, free person. If they write a law and then deny you your First Amendment right of redress of grievance and then deny you standing in the court for your due process to make sure that your will is represented correctly, then they've just now committed fraudulent conveyance. They conveyed to themselves your property powers of self-governing, and they've defrauded you out of them, destroying the legal effect of your private property. So they are guilty as, you know, destruction of private property at the very least.
Well, you know, one of the clips that I was had on, there was one section of it I don't think I got, where they were talking about all of this stuff that happened during the election of Donald Trump when he won, that all these things the Democrats were pushing against Trump, the media was complicit. They were showing all this stuff, but all the stuff that was actually showing up for Trump that would have helped Trump, they kept quiet. And they were saying in this one clip that I was going to get, but I never did, they were saying that if the American people had actually gotten the information that was being withheld from them by the media and the left, they would have voted the other way, and it would have been a totally different election.
Right. And I understand you're referring to the fact, and I'm gonna point out a few different things here. That one of them was the fact that they had the information about Hunter Biden's laptop and all that information that tied him to Burisma and the Chinese, and if they had known that, or also about all of how the ballots were being pulled out from under the table when they shut down the election late at night, but they had video in the actual precincts that were showing these people running through these ballots and whatnot, and the watchers, you know, the poll watchers, the people that are supposed to be able to watch and validate everything, were not allowed to be close enough to those ballots were being legitimately processed, as well as the ballots themselves were being legitimate. And them are two things that popped off in my head real quick that I think you're alluding to.
Well, that was something that I do my show on Friday nights, and then on Monday through Thursday, I do a kind of like a Rush Limbaugh type update that's video. And when that was going on, I was actually showing videos of that on one of my updates, or several of my updates during the week, showing what was going on. My problem is that I do not have that much of a listenership. It's growing, but it's still small. And I keep hoping that maybe one of these days I'll say something that'll go viral, which hasn't happened yet, but it's just something that caught my eye. You know, it had video of them pulling the votes out from underneath tables, and then trucks pulling up to the election centers at 2, 3 in the morning, unloading all this stuff. And about 95% of all of this was for Biden. Well, that statistically, that's impossible.
Right.
And
hello?
I'm here.
Oh, okay. It went so dead, I thought I lost it.
No. Every once in a while, though, I do have a problem with my microphone, and I don't think it's here because I have a good setup here. I think it's through Blog Talk Radio, but there's been times when I've actually done a show, and I go in and listen to it afterwards, and there's nothing there.
Oh, man, that's a bummer.
Oh, it is. I did one show that was like 2 hours long, and the only things that showed up were my audio clips and my messages, you know, because I do, if I do it the way I normally do it, every half hour I'll go into a commercial break. And the only things that showed up on that day that nothing showed up except for my commercials and my ending song and my beginning songs. It really pissed
me off. All of your pre-production audio roll-ins worked, but all of the live vocals or people talking that was just absent.
Nothing showed up. I get it. My show, after it's over with, ends up on playerfm.com. We have all of our shows on that right now. When it showed up, I knew exactly what had happened because it showed up as like 30 minutes. And I thought, hey, I did 2 hours here. What the heck?
Well, somebody got blessed by it, I'm sure.
Yeah, well, I can only hope. But I usually, and that night I did the same thing I always do. Before I start my show, I always test my microphone to make sure it's going out. And it was there.
It's like we were talking earlier, you know, there's a lot of work that goes into this stuff. That's why I don't run my own show, because I at least was able to get a peek of all the different things that would go into one. And I was like going, no, I'm not willing to break off that much time to put into that, to push something like that. I'll just visit everybody else's show and chime in when I can. But, you know, you got to remember, too, you were talking about your listenership, and, you know, a lot of it has to do with timing, too. And Friday night, mm-hmm. you know, a lot of people, in most Fridays, most people are out and about. Every now and then, you might, like tonight, I think it's really unique and rare that Sarge and Joe and me and you are all here at the same time. Because usually,
yeah.
you know, we're gone on Friday doing stuff or hanging out with family and friends and doing other things, not calling in on a blog talk show.
Yeah, well, Sarge, I usually listen to him on Black by Color only on Saturday, and him and Pianki are usually there. They've showed up on my show several times, but the past couple of weeks, Sarge has been here every time. So
Sarge and Pianki are a lot of places. I hear them everywhere.
Yeah, and I enjoy them because they know what they're talking about, and put the information out there, and anybody who's listening actually will learn something.
And they know how to communicate it in a way, in a style that the average person can palate what they're saying. Whereas
mm-hmm.
to me, I struggle with that. And that's why some of the things that I try to share, I think is just, I don't know if it's the weightiness of what it is I'm trying to share, or if it's the communication style I'm trying to communicate, or I'm not sure. It just, to me, it just, like, some people are staring at me like a deer in the headlights, and, you know, like, I don't know what he just said, but then I'm like going, no, it's not that complicated. It's really a lot more simpler than you think, you know. But that's just the way that process is for me, but that doesn't mean I'm communicating it that well to them. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, well, you know, it's like with me when I do my show, usually I'll get in here on Friday morning and start going through the news, and I'll hit every news thing that I can find, and I'll print out articles. I'll have a stack of paper that's like a half an inch thick, and I'll go through them, and that's essentially what keeps me informed, because I know what the heck's going on, but if I leave it to my memory, forget it. I'll get 20 minutes in and I'm dead air. No, I'll forget what to say. So I So I print it all out. So I've got stuff. You know, once I finish with a story, I'll throw it on the chair beside me and go to the next. And I usually tell who I get these things from.
Go by Rob or Robert?
Usually Robert, or I've been called Rob, Bob, Rob,
but
Robert.
Okay. Well, I wanted to just be, you know, respectful to how you prefer to be addressed.
Oh, well, most people just call me Robert.
Okay. Well, Robert, you ought to feel privileged or at least comforted knowing that the professionals that work in the television and media industries do it your way 90% of the time from what I've ever seen. Mm-hmm. That's why if you pay attention to a lot of the newscasters and stuff, they always have their little paperwork in front of them, and they're shuffling it as they go through the thing. And then they have teleprompters in front of them with it all typed up so they can just read directly from the teleprompter to keep their eyes on the camera in order to make the people at home watching feel like they're talking directly to them. You don't have the hassle of dealing with video, so whenever you are rolling video and your people are hearing the audio, you might have to go in and describe after they listen to the audio what the video kind of looked like if they weren't able to see it, you know, or at least tell them, you know, ahead of time, hey, go to this particular website URL, and this is the video I'm getting ready to play. And naturally, because it's Blog Talk Radio, you're going to only hear the audio. But if you have the option to at least look online while I'm playing it, you'll be able to see the video at the same time. So, you know, here we go.
Well, you know, it's like I was saying, I've got, I do video updates Monday through Thursday, and I had them on YouTube for a long time until I did something one day that I guess pissed the powers of be off, and they kicked me off of YouTube, and that was the end of it. I had something like 200 and some videos on there, and they're all gone.
Do you use Rumble?
Oh, yeah. I'm on Rumble and BitChute. BitChute. I'm on Brightian, and I'm now on UGEtube, which is one that is a lot like YouTube, but they don't kick you off if you say something conservative.
Yeah. Well, that's why I was asking you about if you use Rumble, because I know several people that have shows that they are posting stuff on YouTube, but the stuff that is not likely to pass on YouTube, they put it on Rumble. So therefore, they got more stuff on Rumble because Rumble won't kick stuff off, but the stuff that won't pass on YouTube, you know, they don't put on YouTube. They'll just put it on Rumble or some other place where it won't get kicked off.
Yeah, I do my show and just call it NWCR Radio, which essentially stands for New Wise Conservatism Radio. And then on my updates during the week, it's NWCR's Removing the Liberal Blindfold. But they're on Rumble, they're on BitChute, they're on Brightian and UGEtube. So they're
sweet.
All there. So
that's good. The more places for people to stumble across you, the easier it is to keep people knowing that you're available and where to find you.
Yeah, and those are all videos. I've got a teleprompter on my computer, and the camera that I use for those is a Canon movie projector that I've got right on top of my screen. So it's like with the teleprompter, you know, it's like I'm looking just slightly below the screen or below the lens. So it kind of looks like I'm looking at the screen, but unless you really look close and then you see I'm not.
Yeah.
But I do those Monday.
Hey, you just keep doing you the best you know how, and you keep, you know, figuring out little things that you want to do to improve. Don't worry about it. Just be you and keep moving, bro. You're doing a great job. You just got to keep at it, and you'll pick yourself to death more, and, you know, don't let it get you down. Just keep working at it. You'll do it.
Well, I think the thing that really helped me mostly, I played that one clip of me on that very first show I did for CNM, and back then it was CMR or CNR because it was conservativenationradio.org. And when they got rid of that, I didn't have the money to pay for the org thing of it. So I just went to CNM, conservativenationmedia.com, and that's where I'm at right now. But we had a Facebook page and everything, and that Facebook page has suddenly just disappeared. I'm not sure what the heck happened, but it's no longer there. It keeps coming up as content that's not there. So Facebook has gotten rid of that. But I've started noticing that if I say some things that are wrong, I've been kicked off of Twitter for saying masks don't work. And I did an update one day where I had a doctor who had been in the business, a respiratory business for 30 years. And I used a thing he did about masks not working, and that's what got me kicked off of YouTube.
Yeah, I've heard that, but I don't, you know, I don't know that much about it, but I know what you're saying, or I've heard about that from other people too as well.
Mm-hmm. Well, if you ever want to do a show, you know, email to get us is Conservative Nation Media, and that's all one word, 2017@gmail.com. We'd be happy to put you on. And, you know, my Sunday show, when he comes back, he usually does an hour. That's it. He does an hour. And our one that we had on Wednesday that was going for a while, he'd do 15, 20 minutes. That was about it. He just didn't want to do much more than that, and he did that.
Yeah. Well, don't forget, too, remember Joe and Sarge was talking about another friend, Joe. He's in Montana. I call him Montana Joe because that's how I first found out about him about 5 or 6 years ago. But anyway, he's trying to put together his own show with somebody else, apparently. So you might keep that in mind if you're talking to Sarge or me or even Joe again, to put a bug in his ear. Hey, if that Joe gentleman has not found a place to, you know, park his show, and tell him to give me a call and we'll talk. And
I think I mentioned that to Sarge tonight, that if he wants to put himself on a network, you know, Conservative Nation Media is here for him. If he wants to get a hold of us.
Yeah. That's why I'm repeating it. That's because I remember hearing you say that earlier in the show.
Yeah. Because that was
just saying that, don't forget the next time you hear people like Sarge or what, to put that bug in their ear, because who knows, the next time Sarge and Joe come back on, Joe Gibson, then the other Joe might show up too, and, you know, you might get to meet. Or if you go visit, you know, like Joe Gibson's show on Tuesday, you know, that Joe might show up there, then Joe Gibson might be able to introduce you to that Joe right there.
Yeah, that would be freaking awesome. But I'm running out of time. I've been on for 2 hours and 55 minutes. So sooner or later, pretty quick, it's going to end. And
yeah, that's all good. I appreciate your time, Robert, and appreciate all the hard work you're doing in trying to help maintain our stable American way.
Oh, I do my best. It's something that I enjoy doing. I wish I could get myself on the terrestrial radio station and do this, but so far it's just been this, and I've enjoyed the hell out of it.
There you go. I sure don't know the secret to the sauce, but all I know is you keep doing it, and hopefully the right breaks come, and then it happens for you. Otherwise, it seems like a lot of things in life's a crapshoot. You can plan and plan and plan and put forth your good fourth effort for the best, but, you know, how all the different pieces of the puzzle come together in just the right way that puts people into a position where they prefer to be or like to be, I haven't figured that out.
Yeah,
well, thank you.
You're welcome to call me anytime. And if you ever wanted to do a show, even 15 minutes, we'd be happy to have you.
I think I'll probably just call in and chat with people from time to time. I'll call in and listen for a while to make sure I understand what they're talking about, and then I'll press that one button, and when I feel like I have my hands free and I'm able to focus. Otherwise, I'd just be an idiot rambling, because if you're not really paying attention to keep in tune with the details of what's being said, then you're surface level, just superficial surface level talking, and that doesn't do any of the listeners out there that much good. So I don't try to chime in that much unless it's something that I sense that, you know, like exit the WHO.com or stop the WHO.com. But again, thank you so very much, Robert.
Oh, you're welcome. Thank you for calling in.
I'll try to remember, too, if I bump into Joe and the guy that's trying to put a show together, I'll hopefully remember and say, hey, Joe, get in touch with Robert over at the Conservative Nation Radio or Media and tell him about your show, and see if, because he may already have his other show pretty much in the can. They're just working out the final details as to when it's going to show and who's going to be his co-host and stuff. But I don't know. I'm not in on that. Sarge knows more than anybody about that, I think.
Yeah. Okay. Well,
but again,
I'm going to let you go, because this is the end of the show, and I'm pretty sure I'm going to be knocked off pretty quick here. So thank you for calling in. God bless you, and I'll hopefully talk to you again.
Right back at you. Over
okay.
Now. Bye.
You have a good night. We will be back. Okay, that was a great show. I hope that we can do this again sometime, but we are at the end of the show. Sooner or later, pretty quick here, it's going to end, so I will just get my show, my ending song on, and God bless you. God bless America. Bless you all.
Bless you all.
65.